Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conversation and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And if you are a Facebook user, you can find the Patriot Journalist Network. Just go to your search engine and easily just put in Patriot Journalist as one word, and you will find not only this show, but you will also find Mark Prasik's show, which has been changed to PJNet, which is short for Patriot Journalist Network. And also, that is from 9:30 till 11:30 on the weekend, so it looks like some things have changed. Also, you can find the new website for that, which is the www.patriotjournalist.com. And it's got some very interesting stuff. I recommend people to go ahead and check it out. It is a very dedicated and detailed Twitter. Looks like a Twitter team. That's something that we will look at further on the show and probably have Mark on here to tell us more details at some other point in time with the show. So also, two things. I'd like to thank everyone if they came in here, whether they're listening from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website or from Blog Talk Radio or some of the other ways you can listen to the show, or if you are listening to this now on archives. And before I go over tonight's title, we are going to, promote to go to the website on Bard's Logic Political Talk. And this would make a great Christmas gift, is where you can go and find some information about the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. And for only $50 a year, you can, for yourself or for a loved one, sponsor a baby elephant, in which you will help them grow from after their parents has been killed by poachers in Africa. As I said, you just go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, go to the give page. You could also go to the Get Involved page and get some more information on that. And if you do sponsor an elephant, just send me a message via the contact page of the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, and I'll give you a shout-out on the show for being so kind as to help out those baby elephants. Now, tonight we're going to continue in part of the conversation we had last night. If you have missed last night's show, I recommend listening to it in the archives, which was last night. So, where we actually had both conservatives and liberals talking in a very civil conversation. Some of the topics that we discussed was economics, corporatism, the Constitution, and American history. And of course, as most nights, you're welcome to chime in or participate in chat. And if you wish to call in, you can call in at area code 347-945-7428. And I see we have already got a couple of callers in, so I will proceed to let them in. We have a I'll open them up at the same time. And we have a we have a 202, and we have Chris. I believe the 202 may very well be Tex from the Tex and Rex show. We shall see. But we'll go ahead and open up 202. Your mic is live, and I'm also at this time opening up Chris's mic. And I see 952 and another caller calling in. I will be opening up your mic shortly. 202, is this Tex from the Tex and Rex show?
Yes, it is, Robert. How are you?
I am good. We are having a special Friday night edition. I normally do not have shows on Friday nights. However, since I will not be having a show on Sunday because it is my one-year wedding anniversary, I'm going ahead and having one this evening. My wife would probably not be too happy if I did a show on that night. So, Chris, and your line is open as well. Thank you.
Hey, buddy. Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Well, gentlemen, if you are not opposed to it, we've got two other folks who are on the line. However, I don't see the little mark on to say that they'd like to chime in. And, of course, if you'd like to chime into tonight's show and you are on the line, just, I believe, hit the 1 on your phone dial, and it will let me know that you are not only wanting to listen while on the line, you also would like to chime in as well. So, Tex, you came in first, and then if you'd like to go, and then Chris, follow up with that. I know there's some things, Chris, you definitely wanted to get to. You, I was just informed, so go ahead, gentlemen.
Yeah, sure. I just have sort of been performing, you know, acting as a therapist for some of my Republican friends, dialing me, wondering, you know, what's going on? Have we lost the country? And almost to a man, they're saying, I give up on the Republican Party, I'm quitting this thing, and all this kind of stuff. So I'm trying to educate them about the Liberty Movement and telling them that it's the future of the country and it can save the Republican Party, and talk about how had the GOP been able to successfully incorporate it and embrace it into the party, we would have easily won. But instead, we have this narrative that is so wrong, coming from both sides of the aisle. So, you know, I'm looking at something right here. This is coming from, where is the CNN, Will Marshall. I don't know who he is, but he's talking about the GOP's real problem is ideology. And he writes, conservatives also railed against an alleged epidemic of dependency on government, called for deep spending cuts but no tax hikes to reduce public deficits, threatened to roll back women's reproductive rights, and took extreme positions on tax, immigration, and energy issues that seemed calculated to thwart bipartisan compromise. Such Tea Party radicalism, I guess we're radicals now, seemed to work in 2010 amid acute public dissatisfaction with the slow pace of economic recovery. But a different electorate, larger, more moderate, and more democratic, rejected the conservative vision this time. That's not true. Mitt Romney never embraced any of those things. Mitt Romney was not a Tea Party candidate. He's not some, quote, radical Tea Party supporter. He is a rhino. He has always been a rhino. He is a progressive, former Democrat who is in our party, and our party said, hands down, we're not having these people in our party, and you cannot ram them down our throat anymore. And I do not understand why the leadership doesn't get it. So they've adopted this alternative narrative about immigration. And so this morning, I, you know, was driving around Houston. I had to go pick up a cup of coffee, and I was listening to the radio, and Joe Pags is down here in Houston. I think he's probably in several other markets as well. But he started going on about how the Republican Party is too old and too white and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And we need to, you know, change our policy on immigration to get, you know, Hispanics in and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, that's it. I've had it. I can't listen to this stuff anymore. So our party should embrace Hispanics, but we should embrace them not by, you know, saying, hey, in order to get the Hispanic vote, we have to allow illegal immigration into our country, which would, I mean, there are Hispanics here who have been here longer. I'm in Texas. There are Hispanics who lived here longer than, you know, Anglos have lived in Texas, okay? I don't think they really want illegal immigration coming in. They sort of remember when they allowed illegal immigration in the first time. That was called Stephen F. Austin, and it didn't work out, you know, all that great. So I don't think to pander to them, you have to do something like amnesty. And even if you do amnesty, it doesn't mean they're citizens, right? They can't vote. They're just now it's a second-class citizenship that you've granted. So, you know, I called in and said the problem is not that we're not reaching out to these people. It's that we had a guy who brought in independents, who brought in the youth vote, and the party rejected them and told them to go away. And if you hadn't done that, we would have won. But they don't want to see it that way. The problem is the rhinovirus in the Republican Party. The principles of liberty, personal, individual freedom appeal to everyone across all racial lines and all economic classes. You know, you don't have to pander to everyone based on their skin color, based on their genitals, and based on their income. It's just, it's mind-boggling how stupid it is. And I heard Romney was shell-shocked when he found out he lost. Well, what did you expect? I mean, all these people, they live in this bubble. Karl Rove spent all this, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to promote Romney, and meanwhile, the party base is just screaming at the top of its lungs that we don't want him. And they're like, no, no, you'll fall in line, you'll fall in line. And gee, how surprising that they didn't. And so I think, you know, I'll just wrap up with this. I think the Liberty Movement did itself a major favor by, you know, abandoning the party that abandoned them, that rejected them, and proving quite conclusively that had the party not done that, it could have won. And so that gives me some hope.
Yeah, that 1%, I understood it was a 1% factor. And, you know, when you think about that, I know the Ron Paul movement's a couple, 3-4 million people. So, you know, they shot themselves in the foot. And that doesn't include the rest of the conservatives who's, you know, or constitutionalists who say, enough, enough of this crap. We're done. I guess they didn't believe us. You know, text. I mean, I know you're doing the same thing I am. You're reading articles. You're looking at Facebook. You know, I bounced around a little bit tonight before the call or before the show. You know, looking at different sites and looking at the responses, and not one person is being honest about why this man lost, and they're already starting the narrative for the next rhino to run in 2016. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Robert. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You didn't step on me. But did anyone see that Obama was taking a page out of the Boehner book? Did anyone see him? He was crying. Obama was crying when he was talking to a group of supporters of how proud he was, of them and all the work that they did, I guess, during the election. And I've seen a little bit of it. I didn't watch it at length. But I thought it was kind of telling, though, when they were starting to ask some celebrities, you know, about it. We know how celebrities were usually really gung-ho about Obama, but they were like, well, it's over now, and all surprised was so close. None of them were, like, jumping out of their glittery dresses or anything like that because Obama won. I think it was telling. They were like, oh, yeah, Obama won. You know, but they just didn't seem to be as enthusiastic as you would think that, you know, the Hollywood elites would have been. I mean, even Robin Williams, who's usually, you know, a huge liberal, was like, well, you know, the election's over now. You know, he seemed kind of glad it was over, and he really didn't say much. But I thought it was funny that Obama looked like he was starting to take something out of the Boehner book and getting all crying. I mean, I've seen that, and I've seen these guys weeping in front of, you know, the audience. I'm like, what? I mean, it's going to sound sexist, but what has happened to the American men? What happened to, they've gone from John Wayne to John Boehner? I mean, what the hell happened with that?
Well, do you realize, let me just throw these numbers out and then I'll shut up, but Romney was 2,500,000 short of McCain, who was a disgrace and wouldn't have had those numbers if he didn't have Palin next to him. He was 4,600,000 short of Bush second term, who was already unpopular by then. I mean 4,600,000 people in a growing population. You know, we've been talking about these numbers, the death of the Republican Party. These guys are like drug addicts. They don't get it. It's called denial. And I was in the drug rehab industry for years. It's insane to me, the thing. And all the people who rolled over, all of our Newt friends, you know, I bounce around once in a while, look at some of their comments, and also coming back to my group, people saying, oh, people are saying this and saying that and saying this. They don't get it. You know, people, there were actually, you know, several million, potentially 4 or 5, I've heard 5 million people absolutely just said, screw you. And that probably doesn't include any potential, you know, in the moderate or everything or anything like that. But 5 million of the base said, no, not this time. Sorry, Tex, you were going to say something.
Well, Chris, I was just going to say that, you know, you and I, you probably saw that page, Expel the Poll Bots, on Facebook, where this idiot guy who won't use his real name is threatening all the Ron Paul supporters that if he finds out who they are, he's going to take down their name, find out where they live, and call their local Republican Party and have them thrown out of the party. And then, so his whole reasoning is because on Election Day, they didn't show up and vote for Romney. Well, you crapped on them at the convention. They've been in the party for 2 years, and you keep treating them like crap, and then you're upset that they won't vote for the guy you rammed down their throat. What kind of sense does that make? And
well,
then,
maybe they're still stuck on those buses, Tex. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. They couldn't get to the poll. They just never let them out. But, you know, then he links this thing showing the number of people who voted for Ron Paul in the primary and the margin of loss for Mitt Romney in the general election. And so I've since been booted from his group, which is fine by me. But I said, look, do you not realize that what you have just linked proves that if the GOP had found an effective way to bring Ron Paul supporters into the party, make them feel welcomed, create a role for them in the party, and allow them to participate, you would have won. And instead, you have a web page called Expel the Poll Bot. How deranged and delusional are these people? That's what I don't get.
Well, you know, we fortunately or unfortunately, our eyes are wide open because most of us started doing the research, and I know I did, election fraud research, you know, after the first couple states. So I've been kind of exposed to the things that were going on way back. I don't know how, you know, and I know the 50-state or the delegate lawsuit had over 100 recorded events of fraud, coercion, RNC rules broken, and laws broken. 100. And that was way before the convention. You know, so by the time they got to the convention, and then you add up all the things that occurred at the convention, I'm not a real emotional guy. I mean, a passionate guy, but not a real emotional guy.
Right.
And I watched that video they put together, the Paul people, of all the things they did to him at the convention. I wept. I mean, it was freaky. I got tears coming out of my face. I'm going, how can our party be so corrupt and so vicious and claim that we are better than the Democrats? I mean, it changed my life.
Yeah, what they did to Newt Gingrich, I couldn't believe it. I was stunned.
Well,
we
didn't have the video. I guess, you know what I mean, the Paul bots, you know, were good with the video work. You know what I'm saying? And so it was just so powerful. I watched it again the other day just to make sure I wasn't crazy. You know, that I wasn't being overzealous in my position on this whole thing. And I'm thinking, you know, the only thing I've said it before, and I may be crazy, but I oftentimes, and I know we've all said this, believe he was sent in to destroy the conservative political power in this party.
I think so, because they have written the obituary of conservatism in both cases. I mean, and that's one of the things that, you know, I was trying to point out early. If you won, it meant you were irrelevant because you would just fall in line. And if you lost, it would be because you dragged Mitt Romney too far to the right and, you know, the party is too much about, you know, people who believe what we believe. Well, you use that message and you turned off your base and your base didn't show up. That's why you lost. Not because you didn't appeal to people based on skin color, their private parts, and, you know, their incomes. I mean, look, this is the thing that the Republican Party is doing that's destroying itself. They believe that there is a market for a party that panders based on skin color, panders based on gender, panders based on, you know, income level, and not one that stands on principles, particularly the founding principles of the country, individual liberty, personal freedom, less government intrusion in our lives, lower taxes, not invading every country on the freaking planet. They don't think there's a market for that party. They think there's a market for this pandering party. Here's the problem. There already is that party called the Democrat Party.
Democrat Party.
That's what was going through my mind when you were saying that.
And nobody in the Democrat Party is going to say, hey, I kind of like this party, but I wonder if there's a cheap imitation I could get. Right? Nobody does it. Like,
Mitt Romney, like, cheap imitation.
I like Sony, but could I buy a Sorny? I like Panasonic, but maybe could I buy a Panasonic? People don't buy that stuff. But Karl Rove and you know, Boehner and all these other people, they're trying to turn the Republican Party into Sorny.
Well, I've already started to see, you know, articles or questions here of whether Boehner should step down. There was an unofficial scientific poll here in my locale that we're asking that on the news. Should John Boehner either step down, or will they ask him to step down as the Speaker of the House? But who the hell
could
replace
him?
I've
already started writing my congressman down here and telling him that I don't want to see him voting for John Boehner. And also I've had at least three or four people call me directly, say that they've had it with the Republican Party and, you know, they want to quit and what should they do? And so I said, well, here's the first thing. First, quit being a Republican, start being an independent and vote on principles and screw elephants in the letter R. I said, the other thing is, why don't you go contact your county Republican Party, go to a meeting, preferably when your congressman is going to be there, but he doesn't necessarily have to be there, and start saying you want to see John Boehner go, and this party is a complete disaster, and it brought it on itself. I said, don't hold back. I mean, at a certain point, you got to stop being polite and start being clear and communicating effectively.
Well, you know what part of the problem is, and I've been saying this, it just kind of hit me the other day. I don't know if it was, you know, I'm slow to the revelation, but there's a difference between a constitutionalist and a conservative. I'm reading the article that you posted about the big GOP donors see small return on investment on Karl Rove, and they're actually calling Karl Rove. You know, here's a sentence. Rove wasn't the only conservative who has come to terms, blah, blah, blah. He isn't a freaking conservative. He never has been. So the conservative brand has been co-opted. So when you go out, when you look out into the field of the media, you know, with even those guys that called last night that we were talking with, and they think, you know, they were saying before before Texas Rex came on, you guys came on, we were on by ourselves with these guys. And they were projecting these things on us. And I had to stop them one time and say, look, you're talking to the wrong guys because I agree with you. You know, that what you're saying is you'll never hear on our show because that's not how we think. We're constitutionalists. We're people who swing towards the Ron Paul mindset of really smaller government. Get the hell out of the world. Quit playing policeman of the world. You know, move the power back to the states, to the people, you know, and the conversation changed after that. And I realized that the problem with the conservative brand and the Tea Party brand is when they think of that, they think of, you know, they think Romney's a conservative. So really, the terminology has been co-opted, and that's something we need to deal with as we move forward.
This,
go ahead.
Hold on, gentlemen.
To one of the basic – oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. I believe we have the second half here of the Tex and Rex show on the line. Let me open up this mic and check out. So, Rex, is that you?
It is me, Robert.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I seen it earlier. I sent you a message. I didn't know whether you were – I did see the little bing sign on the switchboard, so I wasn't sure whether you were wanting to chime in at this point or not. But I wanted to make sure.
No, I'm here. I'm here for the conversation. I assume that we're we're continuing to talk about where we're going, considering that the Republicans seem hell-bent on destroying themselves. And, you know, if you're on the Titanic, don't rearrange the deck chairs. Just grab a lifeboat and get the hell off.
Absolutely. Well, good to be back in the trenches with you again, Rex. And just to take up Chris's point about the terminology, this goes back to something that we've been talking about on our show for a while, which is there is no real left-right conflict in the country anymore.
No, yet there is. I saw Obama and Romney were absolute. I mean, Romney was a severe conservative, and Obama was, you know,
extreme
a total
conservative.
Liberal.
Yes,
Obama's for civil liberties, and he's anti-war.
That severe conservatism.
Yeah, but look at Obama. He's you know, he's for civil liberties. He's anti-war. He's, you know, he's a typical
NBA.
Liberal. I mean, look what's one of the first things he did when he was reelected? He just illegally killed some people using drone strikes in a country we're not at war with. But that's a very liberal thing to do, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Solid, so dollar, back to your real point.
The media now is stuck with this narrative of left versus right. But the conflict doesn't fit into left versus right. And it's not possible to understand the outcome of this election, why Mitt Romney lost, why Obama won, if you don't understand the conflict between centralized power and decentralized power, and right, where the American people are versus where the leadership of both parties are, and what the media, which is their mouthpiece, is talking about. The media is not trying to inform you. It's trying to rhetorically divide you by putting you in some kind of group. I apparently am in the old white man group. That's new. I have all these multi-ethnic friends, multinational friends all over the world that I know. I mean, I literally could go to any country in the world and I know someone there, and could go hang out with them. And that includes places in Africa and Latin America and Asia. But apparently I'm an old, irrelevant white guy. They're trying to divide you rhetorically, put you in a group in order to control you and control your thought, so that you're subservient to whatever their agenda is. That's the problem, and that's where the liberty movement comes in, and it talks about individual freedom and personal liberties and, that sort of thing. And so you and I were actually talking about the issue of immigration earlier, and people come to the country, and, there's some people who see this as, a fearful thing. This actually is a recurring thing in U.S. history. I mean, back at the turn of the century when a lot of the immigrants were coming from, southern and eastern Europe, people were like, this is going to change the character of the country and all this kind of stuff, and it's viewed as some sort of threat to the fabric. But if everyone has individual liberty, and if the locus of power is close to your community, none of that should matter, As long as people are coming here, they're understanding the principles that the country was founded on, learning the process of liberty and how to govern themselves, it doesn't matter. I have Muslim friends. I have Hindu friends. I have Buddhist friends. I got friends who are Shinto. I have Eastern Orthodox friends. We don't have any problems. It never comes up. Why? Because what they do doesn't infringe on what I do, and what I do doesn't infringe on what they do. But if you federalize every single problem, then what each one does will infringe on the other, because the federal government will come in and enforce it on everybody, and that's not what you want, and that's not what the Founding Fathers created, and that is exactly why they created the system that they did. Unfortunately, we've forgotten it, but things once lost are now being remembered.
You know what I think is going to happen, guys, and maybe it's just my learning curve, but I really believe that the unifying message, even though he's no longer running and he's retiring, is the Ron Paul message. That movement and his message, it's changed my life. I knew nothing about this man except for all the anti-negative crap on him I got on the news sites, until I got up one day and built a group and said, I'm going to go, took about 12 people with me, and said, let's go investigate Ron Paul because I want to know the truth for myself. It was mind-boggling, the stuff I learned and how it changed. And it wasn't Ron Paul. It was the message. It was the Constitution. It was the people that we've met along this journey. It's the Randys, I've seen a side of my life I've always believed in. I just guess it wasn't defined because I always put myself in that conservative label, and I realized that I'm a lot more of a constitutionalist liberty person than I am a conservative, because conservatives to me are, they call them the value voters, even though I'm not sure that I agree with the way they perceive things and the way they judge other people, that don't think like them, but they call them the value voters. But I'm like going, you're going to stand on one or two things the rest of your life while your government, while a guy like Bush puts us in debt $5 trillion and moves us into wars around the world that we're in for 10 years, 11 years before finally we're talking about getting out of them? I'm going, like, that's your value?
Well, and they use things like that, Chris, to divide us. I mean, I think last night was a perfect example. I mean, we had, you know, liberals on the show, and I think that even though, you know, they're on the left side of the spectrum and, you know, we were on the right, I think there was definitely a lot of agreement that was seen there when we talked about things such as the Constitution and corporatism, you know, and things like that last night. But what they do is they use issues such as what you're describing, you know, to divide us, because that is what keeps us from coming together as a nation, as a, you know, as a we the people, where in divide us and dividing our power so that it keeps them in power.
Well, you know, and Chris and Robert, one of the things that I sort of learned as I started interacting with, you know, the Campaign for Liberty and that sort of thing, is that before, as a Republican conservative, I was a policy-driven person. So I just looked at the policy, what should we do here, how could we fix this? I was not a principle-driven person. So without that, you don't really have a bearing, and you can easily get unmoored from the Constitution. And interacting with them, I realized these people have their constitutional principles down. Like, they know this stuff really well, you know. And so I started thinking a lot about what they were saying, and I thought, you know, they're absolutely right. And the more I thought about it, the more, and the more you learn, the more you realize, hey, you're right. Most of the problems in our country today are being created because we have become unmoored from the constitutional limitations on government, and government is just growing and growing into every area because there's no limitation on it, not because there's no actual limitation on it, but because there's no intellectual limitation on it or electoral limitation on it by the voters. They're just voting for teams. And the teams, like, you know, George Washington said, about America not going abroad looking for monsters to destroy, the political parties are running around looking for monsters to destroy, because they're saying, oh, that's an issue. I can protect you from this issue. So vote for me because I can do something about this, whether what they want to do is constitutional or not. And 9 times out of 10, they make that problem worse by doing what they do.
I totally agree. Rex?
Yes,
well,
sir.
Real quick, we're you know, speaking of the Constitution, I think, gentlemen, I could bring in at this point would have something to say about this. And I think we all know this gentleman. And oh, maybe I should have called him gentleman. I don't know if he likes that. He works for a living. So I'm going to open up the mic, and I believe this is Gunny. Your mic is live. Oh, did I make the mistake of calling you a gentleman? I'm just... Or was that sir you don't like to be called? I don't know. Which one is it?
I work for a living, you know, and that whole gentleman thing, you know, I was a listed man. I never made the officer ranks. And it's, you know, what's interesting is...
You're in a barrel, Randy. Sorry to interrupt
you,
but you're in a barrel.
I understand you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it over driving? Is this better?
No, it's actually got worse.
you're like in a barrel, man.
It's like you're calling in
call
on a styrofoam cup and a string.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll call back on a number, and you can look for my area code 618. I'll call back in a few minutes.
All righty, thank
Excellent.
You.
Thanks.
All right, sure thing.
So Randy's turned into some sort of cyborg.
they got to him.
Uh oh.
They sucked him into the matrix. They sucked him into the matrix. Be careful. I'll tell you, you guys had a great conversation, and I think what Tex brought up was pretty significant, being policy driven versus principle driven. And Trog, you said values. Which I think is kind of interesting, because value denotes valuation, and valuation is rather subjective. And I think that's where the problem comes in. You say, I'm a conservative, and then you put your valuation on that. And anybody that professes to be a conservative but doesn't have your valuation of conservatism is not a conservative. So if you're a conventional party line Republican, quote, conservative, and then here come these not khaki pant wearing, no crew cut, not a uniform ethnicity Republicans who say they're conservatives, you go, well, they can't be conservative. Well, actually, Ron Paul's movement in the Republican Party was far more conservative than any of the rest of you. If you look
right.
at conservative as a principle, what does that mean, Rex? Well, it means that you want to conserve something. In other words, you want to keep something. Most people think conservatism means, you know, to take something backwards. You know, we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. We're progressives. We're liberals. Well, these are all stupid terms because they've lost their meaning. When we had a common culture, we had a common language, we understood what we meant when we said these things. But in this post-deconstructionist, post-modern era, we've kind of lost our moorings, so we don't know what these things mean. So you got to go back and redefine them. What are you trying to conserve? Well, you're trying to conserve the principles of the Constitution and the Constitution as it is constructed, which can only be amendment through a pretty complex process. It isn't a living, breathing, changeable thing. That's what you're trying to conserve. And it is a liberal document. Why is it a liberal document, Rex? We're not liberals. Right. But it is a liberal document in the sense that it is designed to provide for the maximum amount of liberality, maximum freedom, maximum liberty. Now, that is not absolute, because if you were looking for absolute liberty, then you don't need a constitution and you don't need a government. But what you will get if you go for that maximum liberty is anarchy and chaos and eventually tyranny and dictatorship. So our founding fathers aren't stupid. They didn't set up an anarchy, but they set up a system of maximum liberty with vertical and horizontal checks and balances in order to temper the passions of the people. Oh, my goodness, that sounds bad. Why would you want to temper the passions of the people? Well, look at what happens when you don't temper the passions of the people. Morons in 2008 elect Barack Obama. Oh, guess what? Those same impassioned morons elected him again, and the other impassioned morons were so convinced that he was so bad that they were willing to elect another guy who's just as bad. Oh, maybe as a group, we shouldn't be able to engage in groupthink because we actually end up shooting ourselves in the foot, which is why you have a system that's designed to slow that down. That's why the Senate is supposed to represent the states. That's why the states are supposed to check the federal government. The federal government is supposed to check the state and vice versa. So that's what you're trying to conserve. You're going for maximum liberty, but not absolute liberty, because liberty is not the freedom to do whatever the hell you want to do. Freedom is your ability to do whatever you should do.
And with, real quick, Rex, I believe we have Gunny back on the line. You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, good. Sir.
Much
yes.
better. A little better now then?
A lot better. Thank you.
Okay. Outstanding. Well, thank you. And it's great to be online with you all. Just a couple of things that just wanted to kind of make, and actually, interestingly, I almost regret having gotten off because, you know, Rex just stole my thunder. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Oh, I apologize. I was channeling my inner Randy. I was channeling my inner Gunny.
Yeah, as if I don't have enough thunder anyway. Well, you know, I was, because I wrote a note down when you all were talking about it, and, you know, Chris made kind of a point, what does it mean to be a conservative? And, but I also made a note, interestingly, now here was a, I held a conversation with a person from Missouri who was responsible for counting the absentee ballots. And he said, here's something that I noted. He said, I noted that those people who voted for the Constitution Party candidate, they were where there wasn't a Constitution Party candidate on the ballot, they were voting Democrat.
Interesting.
I'll let that sink in for a second. Basically, Democrats, okay, because they were voting Democrats when there wasn't a Constitution Party candidate there, Democrats were voting Constitution Party, not Republicans. So
interesting.
I think that's a dynamic. Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, by and large, and I've made this point to those within the party time after time when I've heard them, because basically, you know, what we have is, all of our CP members, you know, probably, well, somewhere around 95% probably, maybe 90 to 95, I don't know. One of these days I might actually put out a survey to find out. But, you know, at least 95% of our party members are prior Republicans, former Republicans, ex-Republicans, whatever you want to call them. And so what happens is they have a tendency to come on and start just bashing the Democrats. I'm like, excuse me, you left the Republican Party for a reason. It wasn't because you hated the Democrats. You didn't leave the Republican Party because you hated the Democrats. You left the Republican Party because you hated what their party became, okay? Let's think about that for a second. So why are you just out there bashing just the Democrats? I've said this time and again, I'm an equal opportunity basher. I'll bash left and right. It doesn't matter to me, you know. But the point is, you know, the Republican Party has become as corrupt, if not even more so, than the Democrat Party. At least the Democrat Party is, you know, they're telling you who they are, what they want to achieve. The Republicans are the wolves in sheep's clothing. And in my opinion, you know, the wolves in sheep's clothing is far more evil than the wolf, because at least you know the wolf for being the wolf. And so, you know, this whole left-right paradigm, you know, I think one of the things you guys discovered last night is that there are some liberals, quote-unquote liberals, who are interested in the Constitution. And so, you know, I really think we need to get out of this left-right, conservative, progressive, liberal conversation and start focusing on the constitutional conversation, because as Rex has mentioned time and again, it's the Constitution that unites us. It is that basis that we are here and can work together. And, of course, you know, Robert, I think it was you that had said, you know, so that it's not based on, you know, what genitalia we have or what the skin color we have. It is the basis that doesn't recognize any of that. You know, and also another subject is, you know, you had mentioned, and I think, Robert, you had mentioned, you had said that the media was stuck in the narrative of the left-right paradigm, and I suggest they are not stuck, but they are perpetrating it.
Mm-hmm. It pays well. It pays big money.
Yeah. So right. It's not a matter of, you know, in fact, it's not only what pays big money, but it's who's in control of the big media. And so consequently, they are the ones who, because of their position, are, you know, defining the terms. And so it's not a matter of stuck. They are defining the terms. They are part of this uneducation, if I can use that term, you know, uneducating our masses. And, of course, the masses are just following, you know, like a bunch of zombies. But so they're not stuck. They're perpetrating this, and I think they're perpetrating it for a reason. And, go ahead.
Well, and Randy, I was going to say, you know, look, by having a forum like this and what Rex and I have tried to create on our show, so this is tech, some people tend to confuse us or always think I'm someone else, but what we've tried to create in these forums is a place where all the real liberty-minded, constitution-minded, conservative people can come together, and even people who are Democrats, even people on the left, try to come together and talk about, look, how do we get away from this statism and get back to individual liberty, you know, control at the local level, and stop turning everything over to, you know, the federal government. And so if we can have this conversation, even with people who are not in our own party, and I thought we had a great conversation on this show last night with two people who called in, if we can do that, it only takes a small number of like-minded people in the country to bring the rest along with them. And we can affect that change if we can do that.
Right. I agree. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I basically, in essence, permit people to call me a conservative. In fact, some call me an extreme conservative. You know, I understand what they're trying to say, but, you know, when it comes down to it, and I agree with Rex, you know, the definition of, but let's face it, you know, if I was to really define myself, I would say, tell you folks, that I'm actually a classical liberal, okay?
Amen.
So, you know, because they've hijacked the liberal term, now they're hijacking the conservative. So, you know, someday, you know, in the future, somebody's going to say, well, I'm a classical conservative. But, you know, the bottom line for me is I'm a constitutionalist.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me that's pretty succinct. And it kind of, in one sense, though, only in one sense, only because it's, you know, the media has put out the paradigm that, you know, if you're a constitutionalist, you're an extreme conservative, not an extreme liberal person, okay? So they've kind of hijacked that idea a little bit and broached it, you know, kind of the fact that they're trying to equate, well, if you're a constitutionalist, you're a conservative and, you know, actually an extreme conservative, you know. Well, that's not really true because of, unless you're, again, going back to the definition that Rex had posed for us, you know, in what we're trying to conserve and that sort of thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, with given the language that's out there right now, you know, I don't know if conservative or if constitutional is going to make a strong connection with those who are, you know, quote unquote liberal. So, you know, how do you bridge that? How do you bridge that? And I'll, but before you get to that question, because that's an important question. We need to answer that question because I've got the same guy who gave me the data that he was seeing in terms of seeing the Democrats voting for constitutionalists and not it wasn't the Republicans. He also said that we need to really focus our attention on going after a lot of those disaffected, you know, we've been talking a lot, quite frankly, about the disaffected Republican. Well, there's a whole lot of disaffected Democrats, too, but they're not going to leave the Democrat Party and go to the Republican Party. That's just not going to happen by and large. And so we've got to start really developing the strategy to go after, you know, both sides of the aisle, so to speak, and not alienate each of them, because I believe that they are looking for something different, and we need to give them something. I'd say something different, but it would be different if we gave them something to restore the Constitution. That would actually be different. But lastly, I just wanted to kind of hit on a topic is, you know, Herman Cain is out there, you know, we need a third party, and you've heard several other people. I've heard apparently Laura Ingraham has talked about it. Well, you know, for the most part, in my opinion, it's just a bunch of hot air. You know, until I see them start to actually make a move to do something, then I might somehow get excited. But I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon, quite frankly. Now, I may just be stuck in my pessimistic way here that I've kind of started achieving this year. But I, you know, until I start to actually see movement, it's just a whole bunch of hot air. It's kind of like, what's his name, Sean Hannity. I'm a conservative first. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, we know that's not true. Same with Rush Limbaugh. Three things. One, always be positive. It's always better to be an optimist than the pessimist. I know that out of personal experience that I won't delve into. but two things. One, I'm going to bring the floor over to Chris, and I have Harry on the line. You'd like to bring up a subject that is current events.
Robert, go ahead.
Bring in Harry.
Randy covered so many different things. I need some time to siphon through it to respond to it. So go ahead and bring Harriet on.
Okay, Harriet, I'm getting ready to bring on your mic. I know you had some current events you want to talk about today that I believe should indeed be addressed. So go ahead.
Well, thank you. Can you hear me, everybody?
We can hear you now.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
And real quick, Harriet, 530, I see you on the line. We're going to give Harriet what she wants to say, and then we'll bring you on. So go ahead, Harriet.
All right. Thank you. I'll try to be quick.
That's okay. Take your time.
I'm quite upset because what I'm hearing today online is what I've been hearing for months and months and months and has brought us to nowhere. Yesterday I was at the allergy doctor's office and the nurse showed me online that the American Medical Association now in January 1 will be 26% decrease in Medicare reimbursement for doctors. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Romney. Is he a Republican? Is he a liberal? What difference does it make? He's no longer in the picture. All the symptoms that he put forth during the campaign, why would anyone even think that he was a Republican? He liked Obama. He was friendly to him. They were laughing at one another during the debates. I can go on and on and on with the symptoms to show that this man was not a Republican. I don't know, if he truly, truly wanted the office, then why didn't he challenge the votes like Alan West? He went home gladly, and that's where he is. So why even discuss this man anymore? He's disgusting. I don't even want him in my mind. Now, today, the Internet is full of what Obama has mandated us, and it's 2 days. Has anyone been aware of the amount of people in the country who are no longer employed? Companies are closing down. Pepsi, company after company, they're downsizing. They're bringing people into 28 hours a week work week, so they don't have to bother with the insurance.
I've heard of that.
I've been hearing that too, Harriet. It is terrible, and no one is discussing this. Why isn't this important? I mean, this involves our whole life, our families, our everybody. I don't understand what's going on, and I came in tonight because I want to know more and to understand more about what the heck is going on. I'm not the only one that's thinking this way, and it's terrible. Why are we allowing this man to enter into the White House and not go in and get rid of him? I don't know. We are permitting this to happen. We're talking, we're blogging, we're blah, 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 and nothing is happening. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome, Harriet. Anyone want to chime in on that?
We'll go
down the line. I'll just go down that. We'll go Chris and then
Rex. Rex starting.
Rex,
go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to
everybody,
say
of course,
completely understand what Harriet was saying, and I know what she's feeling. And no, Harriet, you are definitely not alone. There are millions of us. I would argue it's the majority of us that feel this way. Why is it happening? Because this is how tyranny works. And I don't think nothing is being done about it. I think a lot is being done about it. But if you're looking for that information from regular mainstream propaganda sources or the brainwashed masses who are defending the mistake they made on November 6th by voting for either Obama or Romney, I don't care which mistake you made, it was the same mistake, then they're not there yet, because when we make mistakes, we tend to double down on them. It takes a while for us to admit to them and then move on, and they will. You know, the principled ones will. And we have to help them and embrace them when they get their heads out of their nether regions, because we need them and they need us. But this is happening because this is the end game of a century-long march to undermine, dismantle, and transform these United States. You know, everybody always
talks about. It's already been transformed. It's been transformed today.
No, it wasn't transformed today, Harriet. It was transformed a long time ago. You're just realizing it today, and that's why you're upset. You see, that's the thing is, if you, it wasn't Obama. See, everybody thinks, oh, Obama said he was going to fundamentally transform America, and he's doing it. Obama's doing nothing. He's basically at the helm of something that has its own inertia, and it's been going on for a long time. That's the problem. When we focus on Obama or we focus on Romney, you're looking in the wrong place, and that's why you think nothing's being done. We have to look at ourselves, not at them. We allowed this to happen. We allowed them to do this to us, and now we're realizing what's happened. It's late in the game, and it's very upsetting, but all you can do, if all we're going to do is flail and complain, then we're not going to feel better, and we're not going to get anything done. What we have to do is get active. Look at what people like Robbie Wells are doing. Look at what the Constitution Party is doing. Look at what Randy has been doing. Look at what Ron Paul has done. So there's a lot done. Now, if it took 100 years to get here, do you honestly think that the Tea Party coming up in 2009 and the Ron Paul Revolution since 2008 is going to change it by 2012? No. Don't have those expectations, because you're only setting yourself up for disappointment. If it took us 100 years to get here, it might take us nearly that long to get back. Now, that seems ridiculous because, Rex, I won't be here in 100 years. Well, you know what? We're not responsible for what's going to happen when we're not here. We're responsible for what's going to happen when we are here. We're here now, so we need to do something about it now. And Robert earlier mentioned it's better to be a optimist than a pessimist. Well, I'm neither an optimist or a pessimist. I'm a realist. I look at how things really are. I try to study how we got here, and then I want to do something that actually works about it, without concern of whether there will be success in my results. Because if I was to gauge everything I do by an assured, successful result, then I wouldn't do anything, because your job is just to do the job. Whatever happens, happens. And there's a great quote about that false dichotomy.
Yeah, but I always believe you're going to be successful, Rex.
Well, but
that's what I mean by optimism. Go ahead.
No, I know, but it's. I think pessimism and optimism can be as much of a trap as left and right. Okay, and G.K. Mm-hmm. Chesterton once wrote, "I came to the conclusion that the optimist thought everything good except the pessimist, and that the pessimist thought everything bad except himself." Let that sink in for a while. You know, so be a realist. Be a realist. Where are we right now? We're in a terrible, terrible place. And guess what? That's the most exciting place to be. I mean, just think for a second. This nation has been around for, 400 years? We've been here 400 years. You're privileged to be one of 350 million people on a planet of 7 billion people. 7 billion are alive now, not 7 billion total, just 7 billion that are alive now. In a nation that has been here for 400 years, and you get to be the second spirit of 76, you get to be the restorers for liberty. You get to be the people who are here to be the beacon of freedom in the world. This is exciting. This isn't a time to get upset. Hey, you know, Obama won. Hey, congratulations, moron. You're ineligible for the job. Oh, but it's so terrible. Well, we knew it was going to be terrible because we knew that it was either going to be this moron or the other moron that you don't want to talk about. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised where we are. What we're looking forward is to do something good. And the whole point of what we were doing up through the election, starting with the convention, well, we really weren't pushing for Ron Paul, and we weren't pushing for Newt anymore. Some people were writing in Ron Paul and pushing for him, and I think that's a good thing. But all we were trying to do was make a loud enough splash to let them know we're not playing their game, so that when these other people who finally realize that the Republicans are doing as bad a job as we told them that they would do, would come to us and say, hey, well, you know, bring me along. How far along are you? I'm a little shocked and dismayed. I don't understand why John Boehner's doing what he's doing. Oh, well, let me tell you what John Boehner did in Tampa. Let me tell you why the Republican Party is as much of a criminal organization as the Democratic Party. Let me tell you why these parties are absolutely useless and they're dead. I mean, yes, I think that you should try for conservatism in the Republican Party, because there are genuine conservatives in the Republican Party. But as a whole, the party, until they wipe out this entire rhino virus in leadership, it's a useless carcass of the party of Reagan and Gingrich. It doesn't exist. So, you know, be excited, because we're doing amazing things. And, you know, what are we doing, talking and blogging? Well, yes, because frankly, up until the time when I realized that the fix was in against Newt, I thought I was the only one. You know, I would sit on my deck and having a cigarette and drinking a beer with my wife and going, are we crazy? Are we the only two morons in the entire country that see what's happening? And then Newt said, get on Twitter and tweet 250 gas. And we did, and we met all of you. We're not alone. We're not alone. This is exciting. So, yes, of course we're talking because we got to talk to each other, remind each other that we're not alone. And guess what? Not only are we not alone because we were Newt supporters. We're not alone because we were Newt supporters. We're not alone because we're in the Ron Paul Revolution. We're not alone because we were in Campaign for Liberty. We're not alone because we're in the Libertarian Party. We're not alone because we were in the Constitution Party. We're all together in this. And that's exciting.
Two things. So I'm going to chime in here real quick, guys. Two things. One, I think you could be a realist and an optimist at the same time by dealing with what you have to, but always believing that you'll succeed. Two, we do have another person on the line who I've opened up the mic, but want to give a brief introduction, of course. And this is another one of the Bars Logic Political Talk panelists and also the author of The Head and Fourth Branch, and that is Kelly Mordecai. Kelly, your mic is open. Welcome.
Well, hey, guys. And Harriet, how are you tonight? I'm glad you guys are having this discussion. Hey, Harriet. Hey, I get a lot of compliments here for Harriet because she chose to take the red pill. And as Morpheus as Morpheus said
absolutely.
To Neo, he said, Neo, I owe you an apology. We have a rule. We don't pull people out of the Matrix after they reach a certain age. The mind has trouble letting go. And so, you know, Harriet, you've obviously taken the red pill. You're wide awake. God bless you. I'm seeing people 45 or younger. They're quickly realizing, you know, the Ron Paul Revolution was huge with the youth. UCLA packed out the Coliseum, 10,000 plus. Chico, I mean, it's insane. But the, you know, over 50 people are not getting it. And so they vote. They vote for party lines. And
well, I would interject real quick. This is text, and you know I don't want to steal your thunder, but I do want to respond to Harriet at some point. But I have had four over 50 people call me recently and say, "What in the hell's wrong with the Republican Party? You were talking about this. You said Romney was going to lose. What do we do? We're ready to leave the Republican Party. Where do we go?" And I said, well, why don't you join the Liberty Movement? And they're like, send me links. I need information. What is this movement? You know? And so I described it to them. They said, that's exactly what we want, right? So I'm talking with Ron Paul people to try to put together some information about it that, you know, is for people who are, they want the red pill, but they're not ready to be confronted with all of it yet. You know, like, this is what we're talking about. Get identification on the principles and then, you know, get them in. But, yeah, I mean, the country's changing. And so, Harriet, I think you're taking the same step that a lot of other people in the Republican Party have taken, because the Republican Party, as far as I'm concerned, just poured gasoline on itself and threw a match when it rammed Romney down its throat. It does not know how badly it has misjudged the American people and where the electorate is. And we are either going to send the cavalry into the Republican Party and take over every single level of control of that party, or it's going away. And, well, I seem to have the floor. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did you want to conclude? Because I'd like to respond to Harriet at some point.
Go ahead, Kelly, and then Tex, continue on with answering Harriet. Did you have any more you'd like to...
I got a whole bunch, but I want to go ahead and go with the ebb and flow here and let people respond to Harriet.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So Harriet, what I would say is, look, we're talking, we're blogging, we're tweeting, we're doing what we can to speak with each other, and we're building a network of contacts and you know, a fabric that we can work with of people who are liberty-minded people who see what's going on and want it to stop. That's the first thing. Build a network of like-minded people. The problem is the leaders are not listening, which is why I think a Romney loss is good, because Romney apparently was shell-shocked. Dan Romney cried. Karl Rove, he doesn't know what to do. He's beside himself. How did his horrible plan not work? Well, it's because you're not a very good strategist, Karl Rove. I've told you this a long time. You know, John Boehner's job is in jeopardy. All these people who screwed us over, they are on their way out, and this is what I wanted to do. Put the sword in Gingrich's hands. Put the sword in the hands of Ron Paul to go, and Sarah Palin, right, to go fix this party, because this party rejects our leaders, our true leaders of the conservative and the Republican Party and the Liberty Movement. are Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin, Ron Paul, you know, Ronald Reagan, going all the way back. That's who we believe in. And they slowly assassinate their characters, pour poison in your ear to get you not to vote for them and to go for rhinos. Well, they have realized how badly they have miscalculated, because not only did they try to destroy our leaders, but for the first time, we did something different. Normally, everybody falls in line, and if you fall in line, they're going to dismiss you. That's why they don't listen, because they're like, at the end of the day, they're going to be so afraid of Obama that they're just going to vote for this rhino anyway. Well, something different happened this time. We left. That's what we've been trying to encourage you to do, because that's the only way you can make your voice heard. And the amount of people who left the party, and the election was so close, it affected the outcome. And now the party realizes, holy crap, we can't win without them. Yeah. That's what we were trying to tell you. So now we have the, you know, the big pole in the tent, right? Because, look, as Thomas Jefferson said, things have to get bad for people to realize. Because, Harriet, you didn't want to take the red pill, which you just took after the election, right? Nobody wants to take it, right? But you have to realize it. So this is what Thomas Jefferson said. All experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. People will put up with the Republican rhino leadership as long as it's bearable. But today, it became unbearable, and now we can do something about it. Okay, so this was not popular with the Ron Paul people when I told them this in a chat. I was on a chat all night, and they were yelling at me, and I was yelling at them. And, you know, at the end of it, we formed some bonds of respect and all that kind of stuff, kind of a bumpy road, but that was good. But we're at the beginning of a 100-year mission to get this country back, because it didn't start out this way. This stuff goes all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt, right, a Republican who screwed everything up, because all this stuff sounded good, and it sounded like a good way to get into political office for Teddy Roosevelt. And guess what? Now we're paying Teddy Roosevelt's bill that he passed on to us, and now it's not even us that's paying the bill. They've passed on to our children and our grandchildren and their children. You know, how are we going to pay this? So this is a 100-year mission to get this country back. And the way you do it is you have to start getting rid of that false left-right paradigm. You have to start getting rid of party identity. You have to start voting on principles. Forget about skin color. Forget about gender issues. Forget about income. You know, how much people make. You've got to find like-minded people and link up with them wherever you find them, because Jefferson said something else that's very important and that I think should be the watchword, which is that upon the altar of God, I pledge eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. That's what we need to do. Find the liberty-minded people. Bring them here. Start this movement. Get people in the Republican Party to stop thinking Republican and start thinking liberty.
I want to ask Harriet a question.
Sure.
Romney didn't do so well with women voters, and women have a sixth sense about them. Did you have that sixth sense about Romney?
I had all my senses about Romney. I saw from day one what this man was, okay, because I had researched his past history. Okay, and everything, of course, I read, I didn't agree or believe. But when the information starts showing up in other matters of research online, in the newspapers, on the radio, and everything, you got to come to the point where you have to believe things, especially when people have the evidence to prove it. Would I want someone like that and his background of not being able to run his state and Obamacare and all these things? I could not find one thing about this man that I would even want to walk down the street with him, let alone vote for him. I fell in love with Newt.
Wow. So your sixth sense, right?
Heart.
Wow. So your sixth sense right away just told you, hey, something isn't right. You started doing research and it was confirmed.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm a nurse, so we're used to, we look at people different and we look at symptoms and, you know, and we rationalize things and, you know, and we look at all sides of everything. We just don't jump to conclusions because we can kill somebody if we did. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt, which I do for everyone, and I just couldn't come up with something that I could say this man can run this country. And that was a long time ago. And I fell in love with Newt, and I still love him till this day.
Wow.
Kelly?
So what I see, what I see is Harriet's sixth sense caused suspicion. She started investigating because her professional mind was trained to look for facts. And
right.
She felt, I guess the word repugnant might be appropriate here.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in other
wow.
words, an assessment, an ongoing assessment of him.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's done with politics, especially with other stuff coming out.
He wants a job.
He might be the Secretary of State.
Yeah, in the Obama administration.
When Hillary leaves.
Yeah, this kind of person will move up in politics. He's not going anywhere down. He'll move up in politics.
He's going to fail upward.
A lot of people owe him a lot of favors.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kelly, one thing I want to point out, because we've been talking about terminology and meaning of words, I just want to say that when you say women have a sixth sense, that seems to mean that women are paranormal. I think the proper term is women's intuition, because they are definitely human.
I know what he meant.
Well, I've seen it work, and I respect it, you know? And I watch women, and I'm like, maybe I should pay a little more attention to my feelings of uncomfortable. And that's uncomfortable is a very powerful emotional word, because it causes me to stop. I think, all right, what other feelings am I feeling now about this person? And I just had a meeting with them. I'm feeling uncomfortable. I dig a little deeper, the rest of my feelings. Oh, you know, maybe I ought to watch this person a little more carefully. Us men have to push away our logic, if you will, to really listen to our heart, which, if we do what women do, at times can lead us to a better state, if you will, or a better analysis of a person. It's just something I've had to learn, and I've seen women do it well.
Well, you know, when you work with
I don't know about that. I'll know about that, Kelly, about putting away our lot.
Kelly, you need a good wife.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story. My wife, when we first sat down, this is the first primary we have spent ever in the history of my life. We sat down, listened to everybody interviewed. She listened to that interview with Hannity in one of Romney's, fancy homes. I don't know where he was, up in Massachusetts. Who knows? And I said, wow, he's pretty sharp. He's a pretty sharp guy. She goes, I don't trust him.
Wow.
First time she heard the man speak. And so I went, okay, my logic goes, he speaks logical, he's a businessman, he's successful, he was a governor, you know, all those things, my logical mind. My wife, who I trust immensely with this kind of stuff, you know, because I don't trust, I don't have her instincts. I can out-logic her and out-research her, but I always listen to my wife. Because she will trigger and catch things that I don't catch. We're looking for two different things. That's what makes us what we are. That's the strength of each one of us. And she said, I don't trust him. So I put that in the back of my mind. I said, okay, I'm gonna scrutinize him more aggressively because my wife does not trust him.
She was going with her gut feeling, and that's the most important thing. And that's a lot to do with mental health. And when people work in mental health and they have to assess people and talk to them, you look for behaviors, you look for eye contact, you look, research past history, you look for connecting. Anything I researched with Romney didn't connect. It was a disconnect. And that is really not good. Now, I can tell you that I understand about Romney Care, and I understand why he instituted Romney Care from the beginning, and that was good. But it, unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But that's neither here nor there, because he supports Obama's care, and that is murder. That is murder, and that's what we're facing now, and it's getting worse by the day. I don't know what to do about it. I can only tell people, but if you're 70 years old, you're not going to get a hip, you're not going to get a knee, you're not going to get your insurance, and so we nurses have to educate the community in preventive care, take care of your bones, your life, take your vitamins, talk to your doctors, exercise, do anything you can to prevent you falling, breaking a bone, and ending up dying early. So nurses now have an added responsibility, because we owe a duty to life to prevent it and to nourish it. So this is one of the things that I'm going to be doing, because I live in the community where we have many elderly people, and I'm going to start educating them. And they trust me, and they like me, and they will listen to me. And it cannot hurt. When I say this to all the nurses in the country, get on the bandwagon and start practicing, start talking, and start working with preventive care for people so that they don't get into a situation where they need a bone or a hip or long-term care and not be able to get it.
Wow.
Well, yeah, because if you're not putting into the system anymore, they don't care if you even exist any longer.
Right.
And that's,
right.
You know.
That's the next step, folks. We all know
wow.
that. Anybody who understands, you got a nation that can... That, I mean, you know, not to get off on the abortion topic, but, you know, life is not important anymore. It's only important to us.
Right.
And all these people have been voting Democrats and socialism, you know, all these years, you know, these baby boomers, you know, thinking, well, I'm going to retire, so I want all these benefits because I didn't take care of my life. I spent like a mad dog. It was a selfish generation. They didn't take care of their health. You know, they partied and drank and ate out. They were the, you know, that whole baby boomer generation. I've done whole economic, social, you know, I've done classes on it, you know. And, you know, now they're all getting ready to retire and they want theirs. Well, they got theirs. It's called Obamacare. And what they don't understand is government don't give a crap about you. You are a number. You either bring them money or you cost them money. You are an actuary game. And they're going to start going, hey, you know what? I'm glad you voted this into power. Thanks for all the power. But like you said, sorry, you just don't qualify for that hip because, heck, you don't produce anything anymore. That's what's
right.
coming, folks. It's been
That's
that
right.
way before. We've done it before. We can, you know, Stalin, he got like what? He starved, you know, what would some people say, up to 200 million people. Don't kid yourself, man. Human beings are vicious.
Yes, they are.
This
you
is
don't
a great,
trust in, anymore.
In some ways, I love what Rex said because I agree with him 100%. This whole going into the convention, there was 1,000 things going through my mind I never talked about. I just held it inside, walked the process. You know, with the where people were at, what I was learning. You know what a whole new revelation of where the strength was politically in this country with the Ron Paul movement and the Liberty movement. But one thing I knew is we had a really high chance of losing. Almost everybody on this show, you know, we've said it before. Romney was set up to lose, and you know, we could have been proven wrong. But in my gut, man, I just felt like this guy he's here for one reason: to destroy the conservative political power. But I think it's going to backfire because I think people are going to wake up. And we are an advanced voice. For some reason, this little group of people and our friends and our groups, for some reason, we got it. And because we're not partisan hacks, you know, we're more investigative. We kind of float above and look at all the different factors. I know it's the way I think. I'm not all caught up in emotionally with a candidate, with a party, anything. I'm observing the trend. I get the principle. And now We have to build this environment that's going to attract people, just like those callers last night. We crossed a barrier with a guy
mm-hmm.
who's definitely more liberal. And once he realized we weren't the typical Republican Party hack, the conversation changed. And that was cool. It was an amazing thing because that was huge. You know, plus we had, you know, two African Americans on, so we got into that whole conversation. And that was some amazing, you know, it was amazing stuff.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. So we have the power, and we just got to move forward with it. I mean, I called Robert, or did I call him or text him? I don't know what I did. I said, we need a show tonight. I don't know why, but I just had this feeling we needed to come together and have a conversation.
Well, to me, being the narcissist that I am, Chris, I went ahead and booted it up. Now, go ahead. It was next. Yeah.
Well, Chris, I gotta add to that. I had a conversation today. I felt like I was going out on a limb in talking with Victoria Collier on chat. Now, the Occupy rigged elections and the Watch the Vote people, we're back and forth on each other. We'll go to black box voting. We're working very hard in exposing the corruption of these electronic machines. Well, Victoria posted a huge compliment towards us. And she goes, you know, I want to thank you people at Watch the Vote for all you've been doing. We know we're on different parts of the political perspective, being that I'm a progressive. And I just really want to compliment you guys. Really nice post. Well, some lady got on there. She started ripping. What are Watch the Vote? What are you guys doing? You know, are you running a progressive on here? I said, look, she's our ally. Because we are working together on making sure we have honest, clean elections, and it's a disaster. I want to get into it. One of the reasons why Romney lost the election. But we're chatting back and forth, and I'm basically defending Victoria because this other person, I don't know if she was a Ron Paul or what she was just sort of ripping on her. And I said, look, lady, I've been trying to express to you she's our ally, and, you know, if she's free, I'm free. If she's free, you're free. And then Victoria chimed in. Look, I have worked very hard to make sure you guys have liberties here. Me and my whole family have. And so I really defended her, but this other lady just kept ripping on her. And I finally said, look, Victoria's being nice. You're not. This is your first warning. I'm admin. And then this lady left. Obviously, this woman wasn't reaching out. Now, at the same time, Victoria and I started opening up a chat on PM. And this is what she wrote. It's mind-blowing. I love the Constitution. I love the amendments. I really like a lot of the principles of the higher founding fathers. I just kind of like some progressive ideas. So we opened up a chat, and we'll go back to our Facebook page. We were discussing some things, and I said, well, this is a states' rights issue. And this is another states' rights issue. And she says, yeah, but what if a state, well, you can move to another state. And she was flanked. She didn't quite know what to say. And it was really nice because she posed one question, well, what if one state is really being unethical, electronic machines and things like that? Would you allow a federal law? And before that, I pointed out a principle. So the federal government, I mean, this came to me in an instant, but I think it's quite, and we've talked about states' rights, but one thing the government should do is a defensive action. A defensive action meaning protect the liberties of the people. That's a defensive action. Obviously, there are offensive actions, too, like when FDR confiscated the gold in the 30s. That was an offensive action. You know, you think about football, offense, defense. The federal government, whenever it gets involved in offensive actions, just seems to mess things up. Healthcare is another offensive action that it's going to mess up. But on the defensive action of things, that's a real good thing. And the other principle is sometimes they'll sell us a bill of goods as a defensive action, like the NDAA, Department of Homeland Security, yada, yada. They sell it on a defensive action. Well, it's really an offensive action. Defensive that our whole conversation can be listened to on our private telephone calls and other things. I don't want to go too far into that, but there's an offensive and a defensive action. The defensive action is a good place for when the federal government should step in into states at times. when there's no other way possible. And in Prince versus U.S., Justice Scalia said, hey, we have a system of dual sovereignty to keep each other in check. She started getting this. And, you know, she wants to do progressive things. Well, God bless you, right? Go to a state, not at the federal level. Go to a state. You want to turn California into a socialist dream? God bless you. Why don't you try? People will move out, just like businesses are moving out in droves. So a big corporation, they're moving out big time. You know, Focus on the Family was one of them. They moved to Colorado. Let the states decide. You know, she didn't quite know what to think about that, and we left on a really good note, and we were building bridges. And to hear tonight, I've been affirmed because I was going out on a limb, but to hear tonight some Democrats are going over towards more constitutionally minded people, I'm like, yes, there are Democrats who get it. They really do. I mean, some of the far, far, far left forget it. They're trying to get everybody else to become socialist. But they're realizing a good chunk of Democrats, well, they want to vote on Paul. Oh, my gosh. The story in Austin, Texas, with Anna Beckett, a whole bunch of Democrats were voting for Ron Paul. She was a poll judge, and they were, you know, she'd sit there at the table, people come check in. And which political party are you affiliated with? So at the check-in, they say, well, don't tell my mom, she's a Democrat, but I'm voting for Ron Paul today. She said that happened all day, different variations. The people just say, the Ron Paul party. And it was mind-blowing that there are a huge base of people, Democrats, Republicans, who realize we should get back to our roots. And it was refreshing to see the very words on when she sent me, Victoria Collier, and she's one of these journalists, she's been on talk shows, all this stuff, yeah, brilliant writer, incredible, that she loves the Constitution and the amendments, especially when Jill Stein, with the third-party debate, they asked, the moderator asked, what do you think about the NDAA? Jill Stein, the Green Party, opposed it greatly, as did all the candidates. It's like, oh my gosh, it's happening. When we lose sight of our roots, when we're suffering, we are coming back to it.
Well, you know what I see written here on the blog, I've been sitting here and reading, is that we're, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we're very symptomatic. I think there's going to be, something's going to happen, and with all this job loss and everything that's happening right now after the election, I think we're very symptomatic for a big problem. I hope not, but it's symptomatic for it. So be on the lookout.
Well, Rand, if you're still there, we haven't heard from you for a bit, so if you'd like to chime in on anything you've heard so far, go ahead.
Well, I've just been enjoying the conversation. You know, I think one of the things that I am seriously looking at, you know, we've got, like, I've mentioned being kind of a pessimist, and I know that Rex has talked about being a realist, and frequently I have been accused of being an idealist, and I think, you know, if anything, I don't think our founding fathers necessarily, although, you know, I think there's a healthy balance of being a realist and an idealist, and I think, you know, our founding fathers achieved that. I mean, they were idealists, and but on one hand, they weren't entirely realist. I mean, let's be real. They were facing the greatest force to ever exist on the face of this planet, and these you know, farmers with pitchforks and knives and a few muskets are going to go up against this and actually win. You know, I don't know if that was necessarily based in quote unquote reality, but they were idealists and had an ideal, and I think we need to really have a great balance of that. And what are we going to do moving forward? Well, you know, as the national vice chairman, one of the things we're going to do is I'm probably going to declare my run for the U.S. Senate in probably somewhere around January. I'll probably create an exploratory committee to, you know, start raising money and see if it's going to be worth my effort, because I've run two campaigns mostly on my nickel, and I don't have many nickels to rub together. And but you know, the bottom line is we are looking for people to run for office, people who will not be caught up in the system, who will be truly outside the system, not people who say, oh, I'm, you know, like Gary Johnson, who says, I was a Republican and I was outside the system. Really? You're inside the system. If you're a Republican, you're inside that system. You may be a person who will uphold the Constitution, but if you've got that overriding force, as what we saw, you know, happen here in Illinois, happen at the Republican National Convention, you know, there's some problems there that absolutely need to be overcome. Of course, you know, we in the third party, we've got problems that we have to overcome because the two-party system has created laws and barriers to us actually getting into this fight. And, you know, so one of the things we've got to do is we have to bust down those barriers and create the system of true competition in the political arena like we, you know, mostly have in the marketplace, although, you know, there's some egregious regulations and stuff there. So I'm looking for candidates who will run for local office, run for county offices, you know, run for county board. And I am going on a recruiting spree and looking for people who will say, you know what, Randy, you can count on me. I'll run with you. I'm here in Illinois. We have to have, not only do we have, if the governor wanted to run, he has to raise 25,000 signatures, right? Well, that's true, but that's not the only criteria. There has to be a full slate of candidates in order to get those signatures. So I have to find a governor, lieutenant governor, secretary, comptroller, treasurer, the secretary of state, and the attorney general, in addition to me running for the U.S. Senate. So I'm going on a recruiting spree, and I'm looking for people who will stand up and say, you know what, I'll run for dog catcher. I don't care. We have to have people who will run and who can truly be outside that system. So, you know, we are going to start doing things, and we're going to start winning. I'm tired of having my butt handed to me. A Marine, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I'm going to, you know, look the enemy in the eye, and we're going to start firing rounds and winning. So, you know, if anybody wants to run, contact me, and we'll get things rocking.
Good luck.
Well, it's going to take more than luck, quite frankly. It's going to take the grace of God. And you know what? The thing is, God looks for people who will stand up. He says, you know, nations are destroyed because I cannot find someone to stand in the gap. And so God is looking for people to stand up. God's not going to do it for us. But if we will stand in that gap, God will honor us, and it will take an act of God to overcome this. Luck is going to have nothing to do with this. It's going to have to be a concerted effort, a strategical effort, and we've got to be smart about this. We've got to, you know, kind of quote Rex here, we got to be realists. We got to understand the arena. We've got to understand the fight. And if we don't, we're going to lose. We're going to have our posteriors handed to us. And so we got to look at this fight and not just look for luck and throw up a coin and say, well, I hope I make it. No, I'm going to put in place things to make it happen. And I need people that will understand that principle and will join me in this fight. Not to, you know, well, I'll just throw my hat in the ring. No. I need people who will pick up their arms and go to the fight well prepared.
You're from are you from Illinois?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Boy, you have quite an opposition there to fight. Hey,
you know what? When I tell people, they ask me why I'm in Illinois, and I say, you know what? It's a Marine's paradise. I am surrounded by the enemy, so it doesn't matter which direction I fire. I'm gonna hit the enemy.
Be locked.
You know who was it? Chesty Fuller was asked, you know, about retreating. He said, "Retreat, hell, we're just attacking in another direction," and that's what it is. We're just going to be attacking in a new direction.
Well, I hope it works. Very possible. Nothing's impossible.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Well, speaking of that, Gunny, you know, I was just going to say, this kind of comes back to something we were talking about earlier, where you know, they, everybody was like, we need to fall in line behind, you know, fall in our Republican lines and go face down the Democrats so that we can defeat Obama. But the problem is, and I think it was you who was saying earlier, the wolf in sheep's clothing is more dangerous. I believe it was you. That's true, because if you're, you know, forming up your line for battle, being the election, and you want to take on the enemy, well, how do you go into battle if the wolf in sheep's clothing is in your commander's tent, given the orders? That's the problem. At that point, you've got to call off the, like, we can't go to battle. We got a serious problem with our command and control structure. I don't trust the person who's given the orders. I can't tell whose side he's on. That was the problem that I had with this whole thing, and I think a lot of conservatives were the same way. They said, I can't. I'm not supporting this guy. And they're like, I have been waiting 4 years, and I did. I was waiting 4 years to come to 2012 so that we could address this, we could unite as a party and show what this nation was about and what we stood for behind real leaders who were presenting real solutions for the problems the country was facing, candidates that we could be proud of. And the leadership didn't want to hear it, and they just jammed it down our throat. And so, you know, I think a lot of people have had it, and it is time to start looking at other options and where else we're going to go and whether or not reform is even possible in this party or if it just jumped the shark.
Right. Well, you know, what, interestingly, for those of you, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of or watched the movie Valkyrie, but, you know, operation there in in Nazi Germany.
Germany.
Yep, where they, you know, they tried to take it from within, and the inside was just too powerful, and I don't know if luck was against them, so to speak, but, you know, the fact is, you know, there is such a powerful top leadership there. They've got their lieutenants and their generals well placed. And, you know, it's, I think it's time to recognize it for what it is and start to, you know, attack it from the outside. But, you know, thank God there's people, you know, and as much as I say that, I've got a wonderful friend who just called me just a couple hours ago. He was former Senator, State Senator Chris Lauzon. He was kind of the Dr. No of Illinois here in the state legislature. And but he recognized in the Senate that he was basically marginalized. He just couldn't get anything done because they were so against him. Well, he ceased his race for the Senate and he just ran for the county chairman's position in Kane County, which has the fifth largest city in the state of Illinois. And it's a huge place, and I think he has an opportunity to actually accomplish some good there. And I'll be looking forward to seeing what happens there. But, you know, the point is, if we don't get in positions of power where we can literally take things on, then it's fighting a losing battle. And that's one thing I just, you know, I pray to the good Lord every day that I am not found in a position of fighting a losing battle. You know, I want to know that, you know, I don't mind fighting a hard battle. You know, I joined the Marine Corps, for goodness sake. But I want to know that, you know, when I climb this cliff, that I can take the enemy head on and then there's a realistic chance of taking them on. And that's what we look at. You know, the Marine Corps doesn't look at the easy battles. We know they're hard, but we plan strategically to effectively win the battle, and that's what we got to start doing.
Hold on, Chris. I apologize. But we do have someone on the line, and we only have 17 minutes left of live, and, of course, we could go into into the recording like we did last night. But the call-in number for anyone who'd like to, in 361, I'm getting ready to open up your mic. But if anyone would like to call in the closing moments of the live show and make it to an extended version, I don't know how long into the extended version we'll go. But the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. And at this time, 361, I'm getting ready to open your mic and just two rules. There's no profanity here, and also respect the other guests. And so just tell us your name, what state you hail from, and what's on your mind. 361, your mic is live.
Hi, this is Mary Scott in Chris's group.
Hey. Well, hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. How are y'all doing?
Good.
I wanted to, I was listening to some of the stuff that Randy was saying. I think he would be a fine senator. But I wanted to interject, too, just from my standpoint, is that I believe that every person in this world has a calling on their life, whether you're a doctor, a senator, a teacher. And there are some things that I can't do like Randy can do. And sometimes I feel like people intimidate us into, you know, getting into action whenever we wouldn't be as productive because it isn't our calling to go that way. For instance, on a forum that I've posted on for 5 years, I laid my neck on the line standing against Romney with all of these people who knew me and had trusted me, and they came against me, you know, and fought with me, and I stood my ground, and I posted information, and I refuted things, and I wouldn't back down. And at the end of the day, several of them confessed that they had voted third party. And they did that. They did that because I was standing with them, and they trusted the information I gave them. Now, see, that's the kind of calling that I can do on the grassroots level.
I'd ask you a question, all right? What was your name again?
Mary Scott.
Mary. Hey, Mary. Did you do this with all gentleness? I'm going to guess you did. You have a sweet voice.
What did you say?
When you were discussing online with people, did you do this with gentleness?
Oh, yes.
Gentleness.
Yes.
Yes. This is how I win people over.
I think when you experience any kind of pain in your life, you listen to someone else when you're talking to them because you don't want to put them in a defensive. And there are some people you do. You know, for instance, I was trying to get a rise out of Jake Tapper one time, and so I insulted him because I know how – I did mean it, but I just knew the kind of person the man was. He's kind of, and I'm on the air, I can't wait. He's kind of a pouty type person. And I knew I would get his attention if I refuted him in public. And we were all on Twitter, and I just told him, I reached through somebody else to get to him because I knew I could if I went that direction. And I said that he is wrong calling Romney our nominee because we still have men in the primaries. They haven't dropped out. He should be saying presumed. And he said, you're technically right, but I just want to tell you that you're delusional if you think he's not going to be our nominee. I said, yes, maybe, but he is a weak candidate. And so sometimes, you know, I haven't always been nice, but most of the time I try to be. I think it depends on who you're talking to. You kind of can get a feel of people. And I think in our group is like that.
Yeah, well, one thing I try to do is attract people back. Even though I disagree, respectfully disagree with Victoria, we ended up PM with, I enjoyed this chat. Maybe we'll build some more bridges another day.
Yeah.
And that would attract her back. And I now have the influence. I mean, she really opened up. We've been friends for a little while, and I could see she had a lot of hesitation. And, you know, she kind of views Republicans as fascists. I don't know if she's been burned or whatever. But I'm realizing the more gentle I am and even respectfully disagree, the more I can win people over. And people are watching, and they see this.
Well, you're right, because what we're trying to do is save our country, and we don't hate people. We don't want to put people – you know, the minute you put someone up in arms, you've lost them. And, you know, the Lord showed this to me a long time ago when my children were little. We used to have this dog. It was just crazy. And I opened the back door, and I can't remember its name offhand, but I yelled at it, and it backed away from me. And then I called him real nice, and he came to me, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that's how people are. If you speak to them nicely, they'll come to you. And you know how he teaches us little lessons along the way. But, you know, like Randy said, he seeks the Lord, and I know that's his calling, you know, for what he's doing, you know. But I've had people who have, you know, they try to intimidate you to get into the game, you know, get further into the game. Well, God didn't call me to go that far. This is the part that I do. And we all work together on different levels, just like we do in the kingdom of God. It's really not too much different. You know, what it said, where would the body be without the eye, you know, without the mouth, the hand, you know. And I think we're all working together. You have a radio station, Tex and Rex. That's another avenue there. That's something I wouldn't be able to do. So if we can just do all of the part that we fit into, and we can do it, you know, all together, and if we all are established in the part that we do, it can be a big network.
And this is Randy, and I just want to say a great big hearty amen, sister.
I always enjoy listening to you, Randy.
Hey, if you've noticed, I've tried to keep my upper range down just a little bit. I do try to go into my zen, you know, every once in a while, and you know, kind of keep it calm down. But you know, you're absolutely right. I had a guy that worked with me for years, Gary Dunlap, and he's like, Randy, I'm not a vision guy. I'm kind of a behind the scenes kind of guy. And I'll tell you, I never had a better partner to keep me in line sometimes, and to make sure I was doing the right thing and all of that.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
I am a huge organizer. I can just organize anything and just keep it running, but I don't want to be always out in the front. I want somebody who has the wherewithal to bring it. You know, I just want to be behind their strength and in that person. I don't want to be the one, and I'm not always the one behind, because I'm a little bit aggressive too, but I had someone tell me one time, I noticed something about you is that you don't take the lead unless you know it's the right time. And I thought, well, that's nice. I hope I always do that. But it, being the organizer and getting things going, you know, all of it's a good part. You know, Chris has started this awesome group that we have, and selecting people who fit in just right, and he does it really well. And this has helped us through the campaign. Y'all, all of you, Randy and Robert and Tex and Rex and Chris, y'all have all helped us through this campaign, and to keep our balance through it, and not to become discouraged, because some days it was, but I was less discouraged when I joined Chris's group than I was starting out at the primary, you know, how we did, it was up and down, and you know, just, but we were steady through the rest of it with all of this that I hooked into, and I'm thankful for that.
One of the important things as well is, you know, not only did we stick together through the whole thing, but now that it's ended and it's sort of, you know, come out that, oh, my God, Obama won, which is a disaster, imagine how upset we would be if Romney won and the narrative in the media, particularly the conservative media, was that moderates won and they don't need conservatives. How bad would you feel as a conservative who had gone in to vote for him?
I dreaded that day.
You would just be crying. So I think we're... Long term, we're better off because we have a chance to fix it now.
Real quick,
folks, is we've got about 7 minutes left of live time, so I want to reiterate, if you'd like to listen or chime in on the extended period, the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. I do see a couple of folks on the line, but I don't see the little chime in button lit up. So if you would like to chime in, go ahead and just press 1 on your phone dial if you would like to chime in. But at this time, since there is only 6 minutes left, I'd like to work on closing out the live portion of the show before we go into recording, and say I want to thank first, of course, all the guests who have come in tonight to speak on Bard's Logic. I really appreciate it, and we will continue. And I also want to thank the audience who's come in live on Blog Talk Radio or through the Bard's Logic Political Talks website, in which if you visit the website, I do have a link on there to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. And I think it would be a great Christmas present for yourself or for kids or a spouse to sponsor a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers. It's only $50 a year, and it helps them out. And if you do so, just send me a message through the contact portion of the website, the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. I'll give you a shout-out for your good deed. I really appreciate it. So also thank you, and thank the folks listening live and on chat and those in the archives. So we're down to 5 minutes live, so if anyone would like to chime in, we go down the line. And only a few seconds if they want to say anything, you know, before we go down to just recording for the people who are listening live can hear it. So we'll get us off with Chris, and then after him, looks like would be Tex, and then we'll go down from there if we got time. So Chris, go ahead.
Okay, so I think this is really great. I'm glad that we did this, because otherwise we wouldn't have a show, and I can just tell by how everybody's talking that people needed to talk. And I kind of knew, I don't know, I just got that feeling from different chats and conversations I've had today. But here's the thing, and I totally agree with what everybody's saying. You know, it's time to coalesce. It's time to make new friends. It's time to let go. It's time to, you know, the Randy part. It's time to get focused and pick a battle, you know, and you know, I appreciate Mary, because Mary's been part of my group since day one. In fact, before that, I think we've always known each other through this primary. You know, everybody has a place and a part, but it's time to actually to take your eyes off of what's occurring, because one of the things that's happening right now is all the aftermath, you know, the excuses, the crying, the anger, the blame game. We all knew this was going to come. But we all knew. I, in many ways, am extremely excited, because I've said conservatives will not win if Romney gets elected. It will crush the conservative movement. He didn't win, so that means that all the conservatives are getting their gander up to take control. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the Republican Party. A lot of people are staying in the party. I understand that. A lot of Ron Paul people are staying in the party. I understand that. A lot of people have left. And they're all gravitating in different directions. My goal is not to tell people what to do, because you can't do that to Americans. You don't want sheep following you anyway. You want performers. I'd rather have 100 people in my group that all do something than 1,000 people who stand around and watch 10 other people do something. And anybody that's ever built organizations knows how valuable 100 leaders are compared to 10,000 people that are all sheep. It's a whole different dynamics. You know, the critical mass, we are building up to that critical mass at this point. I have a whole bunch of stuff in my head I don't even talk about, because it just, I don't want to ramble and confuse people, you know. But the thing is that Rex said it so well. I was already in the process of doing it when I first got to know you guys, but I remember when I was just getting hooked into you guys on the radio shows, around convention time, because that's when I found you guys, all right, was building that coalition. I had already built my group, Coalition of Freedom, because I had made that decision that if we were ever going to win, we had to think differently. We had to build new relationships. I saw the Ron Paul movement as something that nobody, everybody was mad at it and abusing it and you know, saying there were a bunch of crazy, stupid, pot-headed kids. And I'm going, you don't pull 6,000 people to a coliseum, you know, if you're just an insane guy. There was something more to it, and I wanted to know what that movement was. And I've built organizations. I've been around critical mass explosions in organizations, and I know how powerful it is on one hand, but I also know how fragile it is. I've seen leaders destroy momentum in a heartbeat. And so we're in a gathering point right now. We got 2 years to the midterms. We got 4 years to the general election. There's a whole bunch of amazing things that can happen between now and then. The thing is, we've got to keep our heads about us. We got to make sure that we're focused on principle, on building relationships, not dividing people, not doing, you know, the same. We're a creature of habit. It's amazing to me how many people turn around and do to somebody else exactly what they don't want somebody else to do to them. It's such a habit that people have. So what we got to do is build those coalitions and keep moving forward. Sorry, what? Somebody's talking?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, there's about 45 seconds left of the live time. So thank you, everyone. Have a good night, and I will see you on Monday evening. So if you'd like to listen to the recorded part, of course, it will be in the archives. So if you'd like to listen to that, feel free and go ahead, and I suggest you do so. Go ahead, Chris, if you want to finish that out, because we'll be recording time soon.
One last thing that I think is really important, and this is kind of to Randy a bit, but it's for everybody, including myself, to hear. It's not all on our shoulders. There are millions of people out there that are disenfranchised, upset, pissed off. They just don't understand what their options are. And if we can continue to build those coalitions out, I'd rather have, you know, I mean, Johnson's jumping up and down over that 1%, you know, that million vote mark. Well, you know what? If we had a million people who thought like us and part of our team, think of the power behind that. That's where we have to keep our eyes. We have to keep our eyes on the big goal because it's out there. There's tens of millions of people who quit voting in this country because they're sick of the corruption, they're sick of the lies, and they don't think it matters. And the common bond is liberty, principles, the Constitution, and friendship and trust. We keep promoting those things. This thing's just going to get freaking huge. And it's going to be bigger than any one of us.
Well, and speaking of friendship, Chris, I believe I have someone on the line who is a very loyal listener to Bard's Logic Political Talk as well as the Tex and Rex show. And I believe I'm going to be bringing her on now. And I believe I am opening up Kim's mic. Kim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much for calling
Kim.
In and chiming in.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. And y'all are doing great.
No, thank you. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Let's see. We got to kick their butts out as soon as possible. You know?
Absolutely, Kim. And, you know, look, this is Tex, so I'm just going to say that in the time that I have been in the Republican Party, and I've been through elections. I was part of the defeat of Bob Dole. I was working actively in that campaign. I worked actively in this campaign, too. But I have never had, you know, Republicans call me after an election and say, I'm done with the Republican Party. I think that the Republican Party doesn't realize exactly what it did to its brand this time and how they so disillusioned the base, and you can't win without the base. The base is the core of support that you build on, and you go to win these other coalitions. And what the genius Karl Rove decided to do is, the base will fall in line no matter what. We just need to go for these marginal people, right? But that's not how it works, and we proved that to them. And so now I think we actually have a chance to straighten our spine, stand up for what we actually believe in, as a party, and either fix this party or leave it. But the Republican Party leadership as it currently stands is dead in the water. And the most important thing that we can do right now is we need to be writing our representatives. Get rid of John Boehner and Karl Rove. That's exactly the thing. And the other thing is, look at who your state party is putting on the Republican National Committee, because they picked the chairman. And last time they screwed us over, they got rid of Michael Steele, who created a system where smaller party candidates could succeed. And he handpicked. I mean, they created a system with this new rule at the convention in Tampa that will prevent that from happening, so that the RNC will determine who the delegates are. That has to be stopped. So we need to get control of the RNC. We need to get rid of John Boehner. And we need to have actual conservatives in this party and liberty-minded people who are going to fix this party, not go-along-to-get-along people.
Right, but we'll have to – someone would have to do a show on how to go about getting into there, you know, in our at the state level?
Well, we'll start here. Write your congressman, your
okay.
U.S. congressman, about how you do not want to see them vote for John Boehner, because John Boehner, all of a sudden, you notice he's saying all the right things because
uh-huh.
his job's on the line. Because if Mitt Romney got elected, his job would not be on the line. But nobody thinks he's up to the task, and it's time to get rid of him. And so the pressure's on, and get rid of him. And you know what? I tweeted, you know, Karl Rove on election night, and I said, hey, thanks for the rhino, you idiot. You're destroying this party. You know, terrorize
right.
these people. You know, you suck. Why did you do this? Why did you do this to the party? And make it known. Go to Republican Party meetings. Your Republican parties are
okay.
organized usually along county lines. Find these things. Go to the meetings. Ask the uncomfortable questions. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to one of these meetings before, but they're not listening to you. Go ask an uncomfortable question. You're not there to make friends. You're there to fix the party or to leave it. It's time to, for some, as the Greeks used to say, enos kai aletheis, wine and truth. It's time to stop with the BS. The election happened. We lost. You and I knew he was going to lose from the get-go. And now in the aftermath, it's time to go to the meeting and say, why the hell did you do this to us? Who thought this guy could ever win? Why did you not listen to us? We told you we didn't want Romney, but you kept jamming him down our throat. What are you doing to get rid of these terrible rhinos that are destroying our party? Ask those questions. And that
okay.
right there, as Woody Allen said, 90% of life is just showing up. Show up at
right.
the meetings, ask the questions, and you'll change the agenda.
Piglosi wants to be a Speaker of the House again.
Exactly. Well, here's
oh,
something
yeah,
worse.
Yeah.
John Boehner wants to be Speaker of the House again. That's got to end. Because Nancy Pelosi, at least she has the dignity to be in the Democrat Party, whereas John Boehner is in your party, but yet does Nancy Pelosi's agenda. That's the problem.
Right, but how can we vote for somebody else for Speaker of the House, or is it up to them?
There's no requirement to be a member of the House of Representatives to be Speaker of the House, although it's never
so
happened.
So could we nominate Newt?
You could tell them to vote for Newt, sure. Newt could be the Speaker of the House if enough of the House votes for him. It's never happened. That
actually,
could happen.
Yeah, and no one who is not in the House has ever been Speaker of the House, but there is no requirement that the Speaker of the House actually be an elected representative. And you know what?
Wow.
I would just love it so much. It would be the greatest thing that ever happened in this country if Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House for the 113th Congress, because I tell you what, we would change Washington overnight.
Oh,
yep.
I know, and if we could all write and tell our state senators, hey, this is who we want, and you better do it or you're out, you know?
Wow. Hey, Kelly here, I want to chime in a little bit about the Ron Paulers and Romney and the RNC and the discussion of, you know, they thought they could get away with this. First of all, the Ron Paulers are getting accused. You guys got Obama elected. You know what? I'm going to raise my hand and say, guilty, guilty, I'm guilty. Go ahead, call me guilty. I'm glad to take that because you know what we did? The Ron Paulers exposed the corruption in the Republican National Committee, the whole system. For example, in Minnesota, they would. The Ron Paulers got there with their cameras. They got there with the Roberts Rules of Order. They were trying to get their delegates pushing forward all the way to the national convention. And sure enough, in Minnesota, one particular county or so was it district convention, the Ron Paulers stood up for their rights and said, "Look, we're tired of you people telling us who the delegates are going to be to the state and to the national convention. We're tired of this. Roberts Rules of Order," and they won, and they got the delegates moving forward. And some of the old kind of middle-aged people said, you know what, I'm glad you guys are here. We have suffered this for decades where they tell us who it's going to be. We don't get to elect our delegates to go up to state and to the national convention. You guys stood up to them, and I'm glad. And so we started videotaping, you know, like in St. Charles, Missouri, when the guy got arrested because the caucus wasn't closed properly. They went out in the parking lot, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to show, hey, you know, this caucus isn't over. This convention isn't over here in our county. and we can continue per Robert's Rule of Order. Here's an expert. Pretty soon, six cops showed up, a helicopter. These two guys were arrested. Henry Herford had his bones broken in Louisiana. The Massachusetts delegates were told, even though it was 17 of 19 were Ron Paulers, they were told, you know, if you want to go to the National Convention, sign this affidavit that you're going to be voting for Mitt Romney. What? Yeah, sign the affidavit or you're not going. Maine, the delegates didn't get to go to the National Convention. What the heck is going on here? You know, they played these games in Louisiana, everything they could. Well, you get to the National Convention, you had to demonstrate per the 2008 rules that if you have a minimum five-state plan, that you can be a nominee, and you can discuss, and you can possibly be broker convention. It's 3:30 on Tuesday. Ron Paul shows up with paperwork. I have demonstrated six-state plurality. And then at 4:30, the new rules came in that said, oh, by the way, they're effective immediately, and you must have eight states.
Eight. Right.
And so we have been exposing this crap in the primaries, and guess who was watching? The independents. Huge chunk. They saw it, and they just couldn't support him for that, plus all sorts of various reasons. But I will raise my hand and say, guilty. I supported Ron Paul. I was doing what I could. And we exposed the corruption in the Republican Party. The American people were watching. They just didn't like Romney and the RNC for what they did.
Well, absolutely. And that, I think, is one of the most important things. And I've said that over and over again. Because they can steal things from you. But if you stand up, you can make it so that the fraud has to be so big that it's obvious. And that is what happened at Tampa. The fraud was so big, it was obvious. And with that, we can change and fix this party.
Yes,
and
real quick,
I've heard from Rex for a bit. So, Rex, if you'd like to chime in, go ahead.
Me?
Rex.
Oh,
no, that's okay. That's okay.
Well, I just want to say the worst part of what happened on the convention floor is that those people were so intent on getting Romney the nomination, which, you know, he had, except they were disputing this rule, is they didn't realize or didn't even care what was being put into place that was going to affect them. That was the worst travesty.
Well, you know, Mary, what you're saying, look, I was at the Republican Party of Texas convention, okay, which is actually the largest political gathering in the world because of the number of delegates that go to it. It's enormous, right? And people who went there, they just approve whatever the party puts in front of them without
thought.
And I saw it. I was like, oh, my God, you're supposed to be the party activist. You were selected at your district level to come here and represent your district. And at the end of the day, all they want to do is go home and go back to their hotel and just say, yes, leadership, look how compliant I am. Look what a good, loyal Republican I am. I trust you, Mr. Leadership, with what
and
you're doing
people
with the party.
In office, and our people in office know that, and that's why we are not as relevant in Washington.
Absolutely, because people are going along with selecting people who have been in the party forever, and so, oh, well, he's done this before and everything. Okay, yeah. Well, what is this? What they do is they go and they just, oh, the leadership wants that. Yes. They don't question anything. And it has come to the point where this party is basically destroyed. And if it does, if this party does survive, it's only going to be because people like us and like-minded individuals go in and we take over the hollowed-out shell that is the Republican Party, because it's revealed itself to be a shell game, and there is no support for the current Republican Party. It is a lost enterprise, and the current leadership is they better start packing their bags and heading to that Democrat Party, because they're done. They're out of here.
Look, if the party leadership keeps poking your hay and scratching in your hen house, and you keep taking it, you know, they're just going to keep you on the farm. And what you need to do is you need to stand up and you need to tell them that you're not putting up with it anymore. And the way you do that is you go there and you tell them to their face and you make it clear to them that they're losing their voter base, not because they're not appealing to your ethnicity, but because they're not conservatives. And your default option is to go somewhere else. There's plenty of places for conservatives to go, and that's what you tell them.
I want to add to this.
Absolutely, Rick.
Bit.
And it's time to raise some hard love, you know, and go back and, you know, instead of them coming into our hen house and poking our hay, we've got to go after them and you know, take this thing over and make it our party.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing here, I guess the best word that describes the scenario, the primaries, Romney getting shoved down our throat, hubris. You know what hubris is? It's delusional pride. Yeah, delusional. They believe they can get away with this. They believe they can get away with this. They've done it before. They got comfortable. They got all cushy, fine. Oh, yeah, everybody will vote party line. And no, boom, they got slapped in the face, lost positions in the Senate and the House. Obviously, Romney lost. The hubris pride kicked in, and it's written somewhere in the ancient text, pride comes before a fall.
Yep.
And we, as we continue to expose this, we either got to change it or get out. I'm still a lost change it or get out. But it's happening, and they are going to be a hurting party unless something changes, and changes fast. Maybe their hubris pride has been broken to maybe just pride. I don't know.
Well, Kelly, they know that you're always going to come. They know you're always going to come back and sniffle at their feed bag unless you tell them that either they change or you're leaving. I mean, it's just
and all the people, in place, the media that's behind them are already changing their dialogue, making up the excuses, and the people are buying it. It's just, I guess, astonishing is not the word because it's not astonishing. It's disappointing. It's like, when did you even notice anything here?
No.
Exactly, right. Mary. And look, that's one of the big problems is I came back from the convention. We all came back from the convention. We saw what happened. And then we started talking to people about what happened. And they were like, that didn't happen. What are you talking about? I talked to multiple people
it.
And said, that's not what happened. And this is what Plato said. You know, the people living in the cave, if you live in the cave and you go out of the cave and you look up and you see the sun, how can you describe the sun to the people who still live in the cave? And you're like, no, the world is not like this. This is not what happened. And they're like, no, you're crazy. You know, this party did this to us. You know, they basically laid down, you know, the law to the party base. And they did it through their control of the media, through their control. Bain Capital owns Clear Channel, which owns Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and all those other guys. They're, you know, well invested in Fox News. I mean, for God's sakes, Karl Rove, not only is he a, quote, Fox News contributor, and most of that contribution is in cash, I would assume. That's how he gets his job, right? But he also was running the largest super PAC for the Republican Party, set up, which had as its main mission destroying actual conservatives in this election. That guy was leaving his spray all over the election, all over the primary, in order to bring Romney up, because what he thought is, at the end of the day, I'll scare these people so much with Obama, even though Mitt Romney is going to implement the same agenda, I'll so frighten them with Barack Obama that they will go vote for my rhino. And now he's just, he doesn't know what to do, because we
didn't
do it.
Well, it's amazing that not as many people were afraid as they thought.
Exactly, and not everyone stood up. It's almost like the American Revolution. Only 5% of the people actually stood up during that thing, okay? The rest were just like, I don't want to get involved, right? But the people who stood up, we made the difference, and now we can fix it because people stood up, and you're one of those people because you're listening to this show. We changed it. Karl Rove is slack-jawed, chagrined, and Romney cried. Mitt Romney was shell-shocked by what we did. That's the important thing, right? Because you can't ignore us. You can't do that. You cannot ignore your base, because if you do that, you are not the leadership of this party. You are the wolf in sheep's clothing. You are the foreign entity destroying the party. And we will either fix this party or we will find something that will replace it and it will be even better. And history will remember you. It's the most consequential election in the history of the Republican Party, because the Republican Party leadership decided to become the Democrat Party, and they were sorely reminded that there is no market for a Sony over a Sony. People would get the Sony.
And with that, speaking of replacement,
Randy, if you'd like to chime in on any of that, go ahead. Since, you know,
well,
by chair of the Constitution Party.
The only thing I got to chime in is that, you know, you said that the Republicans kind of just joined the Democrats, and I think to a large degree the Republicans are just, I'm not even sure that they can totally be considered the right wing of the Democrat Party or not, but I've described the system as the left wing and the right wing of the same bird flying the wrong direction, and it's time to put this bird down. And the way we put this bird down is we get multiple parties in the arena so that we can actually have competition. And it will be the competition that will eliminate the corruption, because when you have competition, people can select another option. And that's where we've got to get, you know, basically, in reality, there were only two candidates that made any significant difference. Now, we know that Goode, my candidate, and, of course, Gary Johnson and Ron Paul were all out there. But, you know, when we finally get real competition into the arena and people can really select another option that has a legitimate chance of actually winning the race, all of these dynamics that we're talking about will instantly change. And so I'm here to, you know, I'm using the Constitution Party as a tool to break the back of the duopoly, and I'm just so thrilled to be on the on board with you guys as brother at arms in this battle to destroy that duopoly, and appreciate all of you very much. Thanks.
Wow.
And Randy,
well, I have a quote for you here, John Quincy Adams. The what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Kelly. Okay.
Good, Kelly.
Thanks, Robert, yes. Well, I don't know why, but I was researching this morning. Let justice be done, though the heavens fall. And John Quincy Adams quoted that, but he quoted it in Latin in a speech. The Latin is fiat justitia perit coelum. And we have lost our sense of honor, of justice, of right and wrong. And we have gone along with Republican corruption and in games, and it's disgusting. But here is a scenario. I'm going to read a quote from John Quincy Adams. It puts this in perspective beautifully on where we ought to be. There was some, you know, in the early 1800s, there was some naval battle that was, obviously they used some very immoral tactics. And John Quincy Adams was asked to give a toast to the scenario. And he said, I can never join with my voice in the toast which I see in the papers attributed to one of our gallant naval heroes. I cannot ask of heaven's success, even for my country, in a cause where she would be in the wrong. Fiat justitia perit coelum. My toast would be, may our country always be successful, but whether successful or otherwise, always right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
We have lost that. We have got to have our beacons of light that will stand up for the Constitution, what is right. Let justice be done, though the heavens fall. That's the kind of leadership I believe will strongly attract the American people.
Yes,
well, the
and there's just so
now.
Many factors. There's just so many factors involved in the moral decline. Just so much involved in that. It's not for government, it's families.
Yeah, and Rex, do you like the chum in that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought I heard
Rex. Yeah, Mary, at core, you're absolutely right. This is a moral problem, and what Kelly just said is true. We have to regain our moral compass if we're going to be effective in the political arena, because what these duopoly manipulators have turned it into is winning for your party, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to taking political action based on what is right. And, you know, now's the time to strike, because, you know, here's Mitt Romney and Karl Rove. They think their silo is rising, but the fact is that Obama hosed down his barnyard door. And so now what we have to do is let them know that they have failed and whether you're doing it because you intend to be a Republican and want the party to be conservative again, or simply just to make the voice heard, because those other Republicans who sense that something isn't quite right and don't know haven't even thought about taking a look at the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party or wherever else they might feel more at home. They're just upset that their house has been destroyed, but they're still trying to live in it. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't try to fix the Republican Party, but now's the time to make the voice heard, because it'll take care of both problems. It'll help us make the Republican Party more conservative and also let people know that they have other options. And there's nothing wrong with having two or three conservative parties. We don't even have one now, I mean, other than
exactly.
the Constitution Party.
Because if you ignore the party, right, and if you stop thinking about the party and you start thinking about the person who's running and what they stand for and what the principles are, the party goes away. Because the Founding Fathers said that political factions, which is what they called political parties, were not only wrong, but they were evil. Stop thinking about the political factions. So whichever party someone happens to be in, that's just an organizational convenience for, in terms of trying to get on the ballot and get ballot access and that kind of thing. Quit thinking about that and start researching these candidates before you go in there. Stop being a Republican. Stop being a Democrat. Stop being, you know, an independent, and be someone who is about the principle and who will go find out about these candidates. Go to where they are speaking. Listen to what they have to say. Seek them out. Choose them. Don't let the party choose your meal for you and just hand you some scraps. You know, as Rex was talking about, you know, look, what's rising is not, you know, the flag of Karl Rove, but the silo of liberty is what's rising, and we need to go for that, right? Find people who believe in that, wherever they happen to be, and go spread the word about them, and stop talking about the party. The party is corrupt. It will always be corrupt. The reason parties are corrupt is because anytime you have an organizational structure, it's going to be hierarchical, right? And yeah. So you can kill, it's the old saying, a fish rots from the head down. Anytime you organize, they'll find the leaders of the movement, and they'll go corrupt them. And then the whole movement becomes corrupted, and that's what's happened to the Republican Party. That's what Karl Rove and Romney thought was going to happen to this party. Oh, well, we've got the head of the fish, and the rest of the fish will follow along. And they're like, wait, what happened? Well, this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to the Republican Party, okay? Not for the Republican Party as an organization, as a corrupt organization, but for the Republican Party as the grassroots voters that we actually are, because now we found our voice. And now it's time to stick the knife in your teeth and go to the meeting and say, hey, you know how we ran out on you last time? What in the hell are you doing to fix this party? And you know what? If you don't fix it, like, real soon, like, hey, John Boehner cannot be Speaker of the House now or ever, and he needs to step down in disgrace, as they said about Newt Gingrich, which was a lie.
Yeah.
John Boehner needs to step down in disgrace right now, or I'll never rejoin this party again. And you know what, Congressman, whoever the hell you happen to be from congressional district, whoever gives a crap, if you vote for John Boehner as Speaker of the House, I will never give you a dime. And more than that, I will pledge upon the altar of God eternal enmity against you as a candidate, because you are the person who sold me out, because I went, I stood in the line, I raised money, I fought, I argued with people in 2010 to get the Tea Party movement in, and John Boehner sold us out, and he has done nothing. And now you're going to put him back in? You know what? The enemy, the friend of my enemy is my enemy. And right now, if you vote for him, you're my enemy, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. Do that, and you will change the world.
Wow. A strategy thought I just want to throw. Can I do this? Robert,
go ahead. I got a quote from Tocqueville when you're done.
No,
okay.
Two of them. Go ahead. Somebody's typing.
Right.
If they could type a little bit lower, that would be good.
Really? Not me.
But yeah, so,
I can't type.
Click.
I can't type.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, here's a strategy point that rolls off of what Rex said. This is, or Tex just said. This is something that I had actually a couple comments today on my group. When you know, some of the articles have come out. Number one, they're starting to already field people. You know, like Romney lost, so the first thing they're going to do is start to dangle, you know, whether it be Bush or this person or that person or, you know, whatever. You know, they're starting to dangle to get your mind off of the failure that just happened. And they're starting to dangle that, well, we can go get them, we can get it back, you know, and find out who the group, who the party will attract to. You know, they're always running these, you know, focus group numbers and looking for those responses. And one of the things that is so key is that we are so aware ahead of time. Think about it. Most of us have learned what we've learned, and, well, not so much for Rex, but you know, because he understands the third parties, or Randy, who's been in one. But for some of us, this has been a learning curve. If I knew what I knew today, a year ago, I can think of 1,000 different things I would have done with my time and energy and influence. But now that I am aware of it, I can actually start to strategically do things to defeat these people now for 2 and 4 years from today. It can be much more strategic instead of reactive. So that's important. The only other thing I want to add to this, I believe the Republicans are so corrupt, and Randy will appreciate me saying this, that the only way you will ever, the Republican Party will ever be a legitimate force again is if you truly, they know you have left them. If you fake them out or you try to use it as a, you know, okay, if you don't do this, I will leave. Well, that's what we've been doing for years. So if you actually see 5 million people leave, then you may never go back, and you may go back. Who knows? But if you actually do it, you're going to have a lot more power for the future, because the Republican Party, for all intents and purposes, can pull 60 million votes, and they got a lot of money. They probably aren't going away. So the question is do you really want them to continue to have that power to screw their people, you know, the ignorant masses, or do you really want to take it away from them? Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just throwing that out as a thought. I'm done.
Hey, let me interject one thing real quick, because, Chris, you just reminded me. I remember when I was growing up, I've got primarily there was 3 brothers that I have, so there's 4 of us, and we were all it was a fairly large room, but we were 4 boys in one room. And we were upstairs, and my mom would yell, "You boys better shut up, or I'm going to come up there and whip you." And then 10 minutes later, "How many times do I have to tell you, if you don't shut up, I'm going to come up there and whip you?" And another 10 minutes would go by. "If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, I'm going to come up there and whip you." And this goes on, 5, 6, 7. "If I tell you one more time, I'm coming up," and she says it more forcefully, "I'm going to come up here and whip you." And we're all just, "Yeah, hi, Mom." You know, and it's the same exact, you're exactly right. They are not going to take you seriously until the day you go up there and you whip them. And then all of a sudden, "Oh, she was serious." Okay, and, you know, it's exactly the same syndrome.
Well, I'm glad you got a lot of chances. We never did.
No, I never got that. No, I got it twice.
You know, the thing is, I talked to someone the other day, right, about this thing, and they said, "Why are they doing this? Why are they ignoring conservatives?" And,
because,
you know, I explained it to them. They said, because they think that, you know, they're going to fall in line. You're going to fall in line. They can ignore you. I said, "Look, the thing is, they know what you need. But, you know, they're bothering your livestock. You know, that's what essentially they're doing. They're just screwing around with you." And they said, "Well, how can they do that? This is the base of the party. Why would they screw over the base of the party?" And I said, "Because you'll fall in line." And they said, "Well, that's not true." And I said, "Really? Is it not true?" I said, "Who did you vote for on November 6th? He said, "Well, I voted for Romney." I said, "See, they're right. Because you're calling now and you're upset. But the one behavior that you had that could send them a message that they were not right, that you would not fall in line, you didn't partake of. You just betrayed yourself. And now you don't know why the party leadership won't listen to you. It's because you sold out. You sold out to them. Because you think the party has your best interest at heart, but they don't."
Well, I'll tell you,
they're just destroying the base.
bother there is the livestock. That's what they're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's another very, very, very apropos illustration here that basically what we have is we have the battered wife syndrome, only it's the battered voter syndrome. You know, it's okay, well, yeah, I know, we're sorry, we didn't do so well, but, you know, we'll make it up. And then the voter will go back there because, you know, look, the Republican Party is my, you know, it's my bread and butter, so I'm going to have to stick here. And when you start looking at the battered wife syndrome, you know, you will see exactly what it is with the Republican Party. And until that battered wife leaves the relationship, she will always get battered. And one day she will wake up. Well, one day she won't wake up. She'll be dead, and then it's too late.
Yeah.
I got to read something, you guys. This is really important.
Okay.
One of my guys in my group, this is very important. This ties exactly to what we're saying. Joe on my group said he was at his parents' house tonight, and they briefly had on Fox News. One of the pundits was saying Romney laughs because he was too conservative on social issues and could not win over the independents. He said Republicans.
BS.
No, hold on.
Sorry,
Republicans don't have to stop believing in their faith or practicing, but they cannot campaign on social issues anymore unless they change their rhetoric, blah, blah, blah. They're already spinning this lie, setting
mm-hmm.
people up for the next rhino to run.
Hey,
Chris. They're already setting it up.
God,
yeah,
they
Chris,
never learn.
I was coming home today, and, of course, I don't listen to Fox, but sometimes Neil Cavuto, and so I turned him on, and Lou Dobbs was on today, and he said he thought it was amazing, after looking at the statistics, that nobody was talking about where the Ron Paul voters went. He said they were nowhere to be found. He said Ron Paul did not – Lou Dobbs.
Cavuto. Oh,
Lou
Dobbs, really?
He was on Neil, and he said Ron Paul never endorsed Romney, and his supporters didn't vote for him.
Nope,
you're right.
And then Neil Cavuto changed the subject.
Yeah, they
don't.
Of course
they
do.
You know what they just did? You know what they did by doing that? And the guy who founded the Expel the Paul Bots, you know, Facebook page or whatever, which he since had to shut down. You know what they did? They saved the Republican Party by doing that because they stood up and they said, this far, no further. Screw
Lou
you.
Lou Dobbs knew it. Lou Dobbs
exactly.
knew it. He knew it. Well, listen, guys,
that,
I got to go. I have a.
It's the last best hope for this nation.
Hold on. Go ahead, Mary.
I have to go to a gun show with my husband tomorrow, so I have to get up
cool.
early, so I need to go.
Well,
but
thank
I enjoy
you very
talking
much for
everybody.
Coming on. Thank you very much.
All right.
And thank you. Call in again. Good night.
All right, see y'all later.
I like that lady. She's got a gentle but strong voice to her.
Well,
good,
absolutely.
Good,
I mean,
good people. Go ahead.
She's one of my oldest group members.
This is the voice of people who are seeing the light and being exposed to what the leadership has been doing to us. We need to encourage this. That one person knows hundreds more, and the people they know even more. You know, the strongest connections in your life are not the people you know directly, but it's the people you know who know other people. And so with that, we can rebuild the country easily by having these conversations. Robert, on your show last night, we had some people who came in, they were Democrats, and they were coming
mm-hmm.
with their sort of same scarecrow-type arguments where they're, you know, sniping at us as Democrats, thinking that we're, you know, traditional Republicans and we're all going to get in the same trenches and not have a productive conversation. I think we had a very productive conversation because at the end of that last night, I think we were all in agreement. And we're like,
right.
yeah, mm-hmm. how do we fix this thing?
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
And that's, you know, part of what we, you know, talked about here in the description of the show tonight is, yes, we had the liberals and conservatives come in here and finding a point of agreement. Which, as you said, how to fix the nation. So I think that's how we move forward. That's what we're going to have to do moving forward is, you know, take the things that are on the peripheral and find the things that, you know, we could agree with that as a base, such as the Constitution, or a disagreement with corporatism,
you know, or, you know, the way the economics are going, you know, at this time, and work on those, because those are the things that are important. Those are the things that are really affecting what's going on in this nation, is what our quote-unquote leaders and quote-unquote representatives are doing to the Constitution, you know, and that's where we can have common ground, even with folks that we would normally consider to be on the other side of the aisle.
Well, Robert, exactly, because people that identify with party instead of with the purpose of the party, I mean, they might as well be crouching in your pea patch because, you know, they're just hired hands. They watch your tractor rumble by, but they don't actually pay attention to what's really going on. And, you know, if you're going to plow the field, then you need to know why you're doing it and what it's about and then use the right tools for the job. And people will understand it because it's about liberty. So, you know, we tend to fight with people simply because they identify as liberals or Democrats and identify with people who identify as Republicans or conservatives when that isn't really the paradigm to be involved with. The issue is, are you for liberty, for diffuse power, for constitutional governance, for dual sovereignty, or are you for all the applicable powers and tools of tyranny so long as it's your group in charge? That's the question.
Our bad guy is better than your bad guy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You got to vote for the lesser of two liberals. Liberals still win that way, right?
Oh, by the way, I figured out how to become president, folks. It's real simple. I'm going to change my legal name. My legal name is going to be the lesser of two evils. I'll win by landslide.
Hey, Kelly, could you do me a favor?
That's our alternate party's name. The lesser of two evils, right? So we're the third party. So the other two are evil. We're the lesser of two evils. Vote for us. That's a good idea.
But before this night is over, Kelly, you need to do something for me. You need to call Obama by your given name that you call him all the time.
It cracks me up every time I hear it. there's Obubu and the Romulan. Because he's from a different universe. All right. Anyway.
I love the Obubu thing, man. That's hilarious. I just had to hear it. Thank you.
Well, can I throw out a quote now from Tocqueville?
Sure. Yes, Tocqueville.
As you remember, Alex Tocqueville, like, he was a French philosopher, writer. He's like, what's up with America? Like, the French, you know Tocqueville's history. See, the French. How many constitutions have the French had in their history? 12. I would call that constitution de jure. Anyway,
But when the Tocqueville was here, that was pre-1789.
Yeah, it was. Well, no, it was actually 1800.
Well, but I mean, you know, his view of French culture was pre-1789.
Oh, his view. Okay. Well, that makes sense. But they just couldn't get it. The French didn't have the spiritual backbone as America did. That's why we still have our same constitution. The French have had constitution de jure. Anyway, he wrote about the two political parties. He says, there are many men of principle in both parties in America, but there is no party of principle. I mean, he just nailed it.
Well, then that's what the name should be, the party of principle. That should be our new party.
Absolutely. I mean, look, this is the critical change. I mean, people tend to think, oh, this is really hard. How are we going to get people to do this? It's impossible. It's not hard. You know, life is actually really easy, it turns out, but you create all these sort of, you know, obstacles. But they're all obstacles you created in your own mind. You can't do this. Oh, my God, how can I have an effect? Here's how you can have an effect. You know, stop. And Robert, I'm just going to throw this out there. Stop voting for bullshit. Stop doing it. Stop voting for your party. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to mute his mic. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's just the last bombs or GDs.
I'm sorry.
I don't have here. No, bullshit's okay.
That's right. I try to fight it, but sometimes, you know, that clarity is good. Stop voting for these people who are lying to you. Mitt Romney was lying to you the entire time, and you knew it, and people knew it, and they voted for him anyway, knowing he was lying, because the bogeyman of Barack Obama was so much worse.
Whoever's playing the music, mute your mic, please. or your phone. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. When the problem was that Mitt Romney was trying to be Sorny to the Democrat Sony, and you know what? There's no market for a Sorny brand. Maybe there is, you know, in some small niche, but the base felt absolutely betrayed. And I told them, do not vote for this guy because you will have a louder voice after this election if you don't vote for him. They're like, but I hate Obama, I hate Obama, I hate Obama. And they were calling me all these terrible names. You know what they're doing now? They're calling me and they're saying, I can't stand the GOP and I don't want to be part of it anymore. What do I do? Okay? This is what the Republican Party did to itself. I went to Tampa to try to change this. I started going on these types of shows. I mean, I put myself out there. I didn't want to do this. I just wanted to vote for a good conservative candidate, whether it was, you know, Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain. I didn't care. I just didn't want Mitt Romney. And I'll be honest, I did not like, you know, Rick Santorum, period. He was the establishment's foil because they knew he could never win. And so all I wanted was one of those people. And they screwed me. Okay? But they didn't screw me. They screwed themselves. That's what they did. They screwed themselves because I didn't show up and vote for Romney. I didn't. I left you guys at the altar. You know why? Because you screwed this whole party over. And now people who support the party, they're plenty pissed off. And they're calling. And they're saying, you know, what are we going to do about this thing? How do I fix this? You know, I want to quit the GOP. What do we do? What's the next thing? And I said, look, why don't you join the Liberty Movement? And they said, what's that? And I said, let's go back to the Constitution. I'm serious. You know, because they listen to mainstream media. They don't know what the hell is going on out there. And they said, what's that? I said, well, let's go back to the Constitution, the strictures of the Constitution. That's, what are you talking about? I said, well, why don't we stop invading every single country on planet Earth? Second, why don't we cut the government budget? Why is the government doing half of what the hell it's doing in our domestic economy? None of it's constitutional. And second, you know, let's return to sound money. Let's get rid of this Federal Reserve System, which is just shitting dollars on planet Earth. And, you know, we're accusing China of being a currency manipulator when we're the world's biggest currency manipulator. Just look at our money supply. I mean, you can just go Google this stuff. It's a fact. It's true. You think the Chinese don't freaking know? You think Europe doesn't know? Nobody knows? Nobody can figure this stuff out? If you're in the banking industry, you know all about it. But you're the American people. Yeah, you're the American people, and you watch freaking Fox News and CNN, and so you don't get any information because the point of the establishment is to keep you uninformed as to what's going on. So you've got to find these people. You've got to unite them, pull them into, you know, pull them into where we are and get them taking that red pill, and we can fix this thing. And it's not about party. So, you know, look, Gunny, Randy is calling in, and he's talking about the Constitution Party. Everybody said, oh, the Constitution Party, I'm not sure that that could be successful. Okay, the party itself is irrelevant. Find candidates on that ticket that you can support. Find, and if there isn't one in your state, because when I went to go vote in my polls, the Constitution Party wasn't on it, all right? I'm down in Texas, and I'm sure he'd admit that they weren't, I mean, there were valid write-ins here, but they were not on the actual ballot, okay? And that has to do with a certain threshold rule that we have here in Texas, right? But find people who are acceptable alternatives. Stop voting for the two parties, because I guarantee you, if you can get Republicans to pull their chips off the table for the Republican Party, and if you can get Democrats to pull their chips off the table for the Democrat Party, we can have two new parties in this country or more, and we can change the country. Because, look, between me and my neighbor, whatever their skin color, whatever their gender, whatever their income level, we can find large reservoirs of commonality, more reservoirs of commonality than differences. But that's not what the people who are in charge want us to find. They want us to find differences so that they can control our interactions, our lives, and our income, and our fates. And that has to stop. And so,
wow. Hey, Randy.
Yes, sir.
Hey. I'm totally enjoying this conversation. I sent you my phone number. I want to talk after the after our talk show here. I am seeing the left and the right getting together. What's going on? Why is the government doing this? The powers to be have co-opted the main two parties, which I would call Laurel and Hardy, and
we have a mess. And people are not stupid. They're getting it. I totally believe in the American people. I call me a hopeless romantic, but I believe in the American people. When the tools and the empowerment comes into their lap, they will act. Why? It's in our genetics. Freedom, liberty, and prosperity, get rewarded for your work. This is ingrained not just into our genetics, but into our soul. And I really believe in the American people. And so when we move forward with this, when we unite the people enough, we will kick off our oppressors. And it's exciting. It's like, yeah, this is a wake-up call for the Republicans. People are falling out. Hey, come join the liberty movement. What's that? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Of course, I won't say that in their presence. But, hey, you know what? I left the Republican Party years ago. And I'm tired of it. Oh, and by the way, maybe on Monday's show I'll tell you who I actually voted for in the general election for president. It was a write-in. Yes, I finally, thank you, Chris. Thank you, others. You got me away from Gary Johnson, this equality in marriage thing. At the federal level, the issue is the federal level. Anyway, I'll have to share that later. But
and speaking of that, Kelly, I want to just tell the folks there is 10 minutes left. And we still have about 7 folks on the show. So if each person would like to chime in a minute, if they will, and then I'll close out in the last 3 minutes. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, a full minute. It could be a little less if you just want to make a comment or remark. So go ahead. We'll start at the top.
I'll close mine. Oh, go ahead.
No, you know, go ahead, Chris, and then we'll go Chris. I'm just going down the line here. And we've got Chris, we've got Tex, you know, we've got Rex, we got Randy, and then I believe Kim's still see on the line, and Mary. No, Mary's left. And then who else we've got here? Oh, and then if anybody else want to chime in, but I believe that's the what we've got there, Kelly. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think this is a great conversation, guys and gals. I really do. I think that we're getting it. We all have a little bit different perspective, but the core of what we're talking about is the same. And whether it be, you know, a little bit of what Tex is saying, you know, whether bottom line is you've got to find the right candidates. And Tex made a good point. I did not have Constitutional Party people except for Virgil at the top of the ticket to vote for in Washington. So I had to look at my down ballot and do a bunch of research and do the best I could. And so we're all, you know, that's the reality of the, and I don't like that term third parties either, but the alternate parties. They need to grow. And we've got a couple years going into the 2014, and then we've got 2016. And we can make a lot of groundswell by finding constitutional people to vote for in wherever they may be. This conversation is going to draw to us the best people in this country. I really believe that because, you know, I mean, I just think about the relationships that I have right now on this show and the conversations we have behind the scenes, the things that Kelly and I talk about, that, you know, Robert talk about. You know, it is amazing. There are millions of people out there like us looking for this message. And if you guys remember one of the first times I had called in or second times I'd called in one of the radio shows when I was first getting to know you guys, what did I say? I go, I thought I was out here by myself. Rex said it earlier tonight. And so we're finding each other because we have our eyes on the right things, on the right principles, on the right idea. This is going to create, you know, like I said, 100 people will create 1,000, 1,000 will create a million will create 10 million. You know, 60 million people voted for each one of these crooks. You know, I mean, think about it. And there are some great people out there. I'd vote for Randy in a second because he's a man of character, you know. He believes in what he believes. He has proven himself to be trustworthy. You know, there's more people like that out there. We need to just keep doing what we're doing, and we will keep growing and growing. I see a day when these shows have hundreds of people tuned into them and thousands of people listening to the archives. We're reaching across all party lines. You know, I post this stuff in all the Paul groups now. And I remember when I first started doing it, I was afraid I was going to get booted. You follow what I'm getting at? Now people know you. Hey, thanks, Chris. Hey, you know, and I, and it's just that those walls are coming down. Those relationships are being built. And we don't have a lot of time, but we have a lot of time. You know, it's that sense of urgency, but we're in a better place than we were 2 months ago because we were catching up with everything. Now we know what we're doing. Now we got to build it. So that's my input. And I appreciate you guys so much. You have no idea. I'm always thinking about every day, what can I do to add value to what's going on? Because, you know, a lot of times I'm still catching up with the knowledge that you guys have.
Well,
you know?
Hold on, Chris. I want to try to get it down the line to the other picture if they want to say something for a minute on there. Sorry about that, but go ahead, Tex, if there's anything you'd like to finish up on. So,
well, I would just say, Chris, look, the show you called into the first time, I believe was our show, and you know, you said, look, I'm so glad I found you guys. I can't believe there are people out there that think the way I'm thinking. And, you know, we're building those relationships. That's part of what this show is about. You know, Harriet was saying, oh, we're all talking with each other, but, you know, are we making a difference? Well, yeah, we made a difference. We just freaking cost Mitt Romney the election, right? Because people turned off to him, all right? So was it me that cost him the election? Was it Robert that cost him the election? No. It's the idea, and it's the belief that everybody had that Mitt Romney is unsuitable. But, you know, we provided some strength. Other people, they just on their own, they were like, I'm not participating anymore, right? But we gave voice to why they are not participating, right? So Rush Limbaugh is on about 3 million people didn't show up to vote for Mitt Romney. Why is that? Well, it's because Mitt Romney is a big freaking rhino. That's why I called into a Houston radio station today, and they were going on about, oh, you know, we're the old white guy party and all this kind of stuff. And I called in and I said, look, no, the problem is you've got a rhino virus and nobody wants to vote for you with your influenza in this party. People believe in certain things. They vote for this party not because they care about pachyderms and not because they care about the letter R, but because they actually stand for certain principles. This party claims that it stands for certain principles, and Mitt Romney is the exact 100% opposite of everything those principles are. And if the party is going to do that, then the party is going to lose support. And a lot of people, and, you know, you thought, well, just gin up enough fear about Barack Obama that people will fall in line. We know if people weren't so afraid that they couldn't tell the difference, right? Hey, you can either eat crap or you can eat mud. Well, you know what? I'm not eating either. Screw you. And
but
then
the
people with the cheap imitation of crap are like, oh, God, they don't buy cheap imitation crap, apparently. Yeah, nobody's buying that Sorny brand.
Okay,
so
now,
it either has to go away or it has to be fixed.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Randy, if there's anything you'd like to chime in. I see Harriet's still on the line, too, so we'll try to squeeze her in, too, if she'd like to chime in.
I'll just be quick. You know, we must move forward with intention and with purpose and not flying by the seat of our britches. You know, wars are not won simply by luck or by just, you know, aiming your gun up in the air and shooting a whole bunch of bullets and hope they come down and hit somebody. It is we must get into the fight. We must be well-trained, well-prepared, and we must treat this somewhat as the battle that it is, because we are in a war for the soul of this nation. And if we don't stand up, if we don't take it on head first and understand the principles that are involved here, we will, and our children and our children's children, suffer the results. So I'm excited about standing with you as a brother at arms, and, you know, like, I don't remember who it was that said it, but, you know, there are many jobs, and believe me, whatever it is you feel comfortable in participating, I have it here for you. So get in contact with me, and we'll make it happen. God bless you all.
Take care, Randy, and thanks again. And then, let's see, we've got Kelly and then Rex.
I'm here.
Either one or go ahead, Kelly. We've got 2 minutes left before we get shut down. So, and I would like Rex and at 6:02, I still see you here too. So,
yes. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
I'm beyond elated right now that I am totally connected with liberty-minded people. I'm without words right now, and it's just it's exciting to be a part of this. I guess that's all I have to say.
Yep.
Thank you. And Rex, and then myself.
It's about liberty, so join Tex and Rex on Sunday. And Robert, don't you dare dial in on Sunday. And just focus on liberty and let the Republicans know that